Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated...
It is Thursday, September 27th. Let's bring it down, actually. We've got to, we are now doing part two of our coverage today of the Kavanaugh hearings. Pop him up. He is going live now. Kavanaugh is going to be speaking for the first time. He's about to address the committee.
Are you ready?
We obviously just finished the coverage of
Ford's
testimony.
Something I want to clear up from the last meeting that doesn't affect you. So before I swear you, I would like to explain my response to Senator Kennedy right after the break. At that time, I entered into the record the statements of three witnesses Dr. Ford said were also at the party. These statements were provided to us under penalty of felony by lying to, if you lie to Congress. As soon as my team learned the names of these three potential witnesses, we immediately reached out to them requesting an interview. In response, all three submitted statements to us denying any knowledge of the gathering Dr. Ford described. If we had calls with them, we would have invited the minority to join. Every time that we've received any information regarding Judge Kavanaugh, we've sought to immediately follow through and investigate. The minority staff sat on Dr. Ford's letter for weeks, and staff told us that they believed it is, quote, highly inappropriate to have these follow-up calls before the FBI finishes its investigation, end of quote, even though the FBI had completed its background information. When we followed up with Judge Kavanaugh after we received Dr. Ford's allegations, the ranking member staff didn't join us, even though these calls are usually done on a bipartisan basis. They joined other calls with the judge, but they didn't participate or ask any questions. Would you please rise, sir?
Yes.
Do you affirm that...
Try to get it back.
The testimony you're about to give before the committee will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Yeah. And like we offered to Senator or to Dr. Ford, you can take whatever time you want now for your opening statement. Then we'll go to questions. So proceed.
Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Feinstein, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to make my statement. I wrote it myself yesterday afternoon and evening. No one has seen a draft or it except for one of my former law clerks. This is my statement.
What?
Less than 2 weeks ago, Dr. Ford publicly accused me of committing wrongdoing at an event more than 36 years ago when we were both in high school. I denied the allegation immediately, categorically, and unequivocally. All four people allegedly at the event, including Dr. Ford's longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser, have said they recall no such event. Her longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser, said under penalty of felony that she does not know me and does not believe she ever saw me at a party ever. Here is the quote from Ms. Kaiser's attorney's letter. Quote, simply put, Ms. Kaiser does not know Mr. Kavanaugh, and she has no recollection of ever being at a party or gathering where he was present with or without Dr. Ford. End quote. Think about that fact.
Somebody got the message from the White House that he should be more angry that he's being accused.
I told this committee that I wanted a hearing as soon as possible to clear my name. I demanded a hearing for the very next day. Unfortunately, it took the committee 10 days to get to this hearing. In those 10 long days, as was predictable and as I predicted, my family and my name have been totally and permanently destroyed by vicious and false additional accusations. Well, the 10-day delay has been harmful to me and my family, to the Supreme Court, and to the country. When this allegation first arose, I welcomed any kind of investigation, Senate, FBI, or otherwise. The committee now has conducted a thorough investigation, and I've cooperated fully. I know that any kind of investigation, Senate, FBI, Montgomery County Police, whatever, will clear me. Listen to the people I know. Listen to the people who have known me my whole life. Listen to the people I've grown up with and worked with and played with and coached with and dated and taught and gone to games with and had beers with. And listen to the witnesses who allegedly were at this event 36 years ago. Listen to Miss Kaiser. She does not know me. I was not at the party described by Dr. Ford. This confirmation process has become a national disgrace. The Constitution gives the Senate an important role in the confirmation process, but you have replaced advice and consent with search and destroy. Since my nomination in July, there has been a frenzy on the left to come up with something, anything, to block my confirmation. Shortly after I was nominated, the Democratic Senate leader said he would, quote, oppose me with everything he's got. A Democratic senator on this committee publicly referred to me as evil. Evil. Think about that word. And said that those who supported me were, quote, complicit in evil. Another Democratic senator on this committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh is your worst nightmare. A former head of the Democratic National Committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh will threaten the lives of millions of Americans for decades to come. I understand the passions of the moment, but I would say to those senators, your words have meaning. Millions of Americans listened carefully to you. Given comments like those, is it any surprise
that people have been willing to do anything
to make any physical threat against my family, to send any violent email to my wife, to make any kind of allegation against me and against my friends, to blow me up and take me down? You sowed the wind. For decades to come, I fear that the whole country will reap the whirlwind. The behavior of several of the Democratic members of this committee at my hearing a few weeks ago was an embarrassment.
Jesus.
But at least it was just a good old-fashioned attempt at borking. Those efforts didn't work. When I did at least okay enough at the hearings that it looked like I might actually get confirmed, a new tactic was needed. Some of you were lying in wait and had it ready. This first allegation was held in secret for weeks by a Democratic member of this committee and by staff. It would be needed only if you couldn't take me out on the merits. When it was needed, this allegation was unleashed and publicly deployed over Dr. Ford's wishes. And then, as no doubt was expected, if not planned, came a long series of false last-minute smears designed to scare me and drive me out of the process before any hearing occurred. crazy stuff. Gangs, illegitimate children, fights on boats in Rhode Island. All nonsense, reported breathlessly and often uncritically by the media. This has destroyed my family.
By the Republicans.
And my good name. A good name built up through decades of very hard work and public service at the highest levels of the American government. This whole two-week effort has been a calculated and orchestrated political hit, fueled with apparent pent-up anger about President Trump and the 2016 election, fear that has been unfairly stoked about my judicial record, revenge on behalf of the Clintons, and millions of dollars in money from outside left-wing opposition groups. This is a circus. The consequences will extend long past my nomination. The consequences will be with us for decades. This grotesque and coordinated character assassination will dissuade competent and good people of all political persuasions from serving our country. And as we all know, in the United States political system of the early 2000s, what goes around comes around. I am an optimistic guy. I always try to be on the sunrise side of the mountain, to be optimistic about the day that is coming. But today, I have to say that I fear for the future. Last time I was here, I told this committee that a federal judge must be independent, not swayed by public or political pressure. I said I was such a judge, and I am. I will not be intimidated into withdrawing from this process.
This guy,
tried hard.
I thought
this
he was,
vindictive
I really
guy
he was
who's so angry at so many different parties,
no
he's going to sit on the...
Your
on...
effort.
Now, that being said, I'll be totally
impartial. Well-funded effort to destroy
I really
my
thought
good
he was setting himself to pull out.
To destroy my family
yep.
will not drive me out. The vile threats of violence against my family will not drive me out. You may defeat me in the final vote, but you'll never get me to quit. Never.
Right. Well, you can't, because then you'd actually have to concede
I'm here today
that
to
you
tell
were
the truth.
Guilty of what you did.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone, not in high school, not in college, not ever. Sexual assault is horrific. One of my closest friends to this day is a woman who was sexually abused and who in the 1990s, when we were in our 30s, confided in me about the abuse and sought my advice. I was one of the only people she consulted. Allegations of sexual assault must always be taken seriously, always. Those who make allegations always deserve to be heard. At the same time, the person who is the subject of the allegations also deserves to be heard. Due process is a foundation of the American rule of law. Due process means listening to both sides.
It's too bad he doesn't have an opportunity to give his side.
As I told you at my hearing 3 weeks ago, I'm the only child of Martha and Ed Kavanaugh. They are here today. When I was 10, my mom went to law school. And as a lawyer, she worked hard and overcame barriers, including the workplace sexual harassment that so many women faced at the time and still face today. She became a trailblazer, one of Maryland's earliest women prosecutors and trial judges. She and my dad taught me the importance of equality and respect for all people, and she inspired me to be a lawyer and a judge. Last time I was here, I told you that when my mom was a prosecutor and I was in high school, she used to practice her closing arguments at the dining room table on my dad and me. As I told you, her trademark line was, "Use your common sense. What rings true? What rings false?" Her trademark line is a good reminder as we sit here today, some 36 years after the alleged event occurred, when there is no corroboration, and indeed it is refuted by the people allegedly there.
There is corroboration.
After I have been in the public arena for 26 years without even a hint, a whiff of an allegation like this. And when my nomination to the Supreme Court was just about to be voted on at a time when I'm called evil by a Democratic member of this committee, while Democratic opponents of my nomination say people will die if I am confirmed.
True.
This onslaught of last-minute allegations does not ring true. I'm not questioning that Dr. Ford may have been sexually assaulted by some person in some place at some time. But I have never done this to her or to anyone. That's not who I am. It is not who I was. I am innocent of this charge. I intend no ill will to Dr. Ford and her family. The other night, Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers, and little Liza, all of 10 years old, said to Ashley, "We should pray for the woman." It's a lot of wisdom from a 10-year-old. We mean no ill will. First, let's start with my career. For the last 26 years, since 1992, I've served in many high-profile and sensitive government positions for which the FBI has investigated my background six separate times. Six separate FBI background investigations over 26 years, all of them after the event alleged here. I have been in the public arena and under extreme public scrutiny for decades. In 1992, I worked for the Office of Solicitor General in the Department of Justice. In 1993, I clerked on the Supreme Court for Justice Anthony Kennedy. I spent 4 years in the Independent Counsel's Office during the 1990s. That office was the subject of enormous scrutiny from the media and the public. During 1998, the year of the impeachment of President Clinton, our office generally, and I personally, were in the middle of an intense national media and political spotlight. I and other leading members of Ken Starr's office were opposition researched from head to toe, from birth through the present day. Recall all the people who were exposed that year of 1998 as having engaged in some sexual wrongdoing or indiscretions in their past. One person on the left even paid $1 million for people to report evidence of sexual wrongdoing, and it worked. He exposed some prominent people. Nothing about me. From 2001 to 2006, I worked for President George W. Bush in the White House. As staff secretary, I was by President Bush's side for 3 years.
Why
was
he entrusted
with the nation's most sensitive secrets?
He's thinking of September 11th,
I traveled on Air Force
Sam,
One all over the country and the world with President Bush. I went everywhere with him, from Texas to Pakistan, from Alaska to Australia, from Buckingham Palace to the Vatican. 3 years in the West Wing, 5.5 years in the White House. I was then nominated to be a judge on the D.C. Circuit. I was thoroughly vetted by the White House, the FBI, the American Bar Association, and this committee. I sat before this committee for two thorough confirmation hearings in 2004 and 2006. For the past 12 years leading up to my nomination for this job, I've served in a very public arena as a federal judge on what is often referred to as the second most important court in the country. I've handled some of the most significant and sensitive cases affecting the lives and liberties of the American people. I have been a good judge. And for this nomination, another FBI background investigation, another American Bar Association investigation, 31 hours of hearings, 65 senator meetings, 1,200 written questions, more than all previous Supreme Court nominees combined. Throughout that entire time, throughout my 53 years and 7 months on this earth until last week, no one ever accused me of any kind of sexual misconduct. No one, ever. A lifetime of public service and a lifetime of high-profile public service at the highest levels of American government. And never a hint of anything of this kind. And that's because nothing of this kind ever happened. Second, let's turn to specifics. I categorically and unequivocally deny the allegation against me by Dr. Ford. I never had any sexual or physical encounter of any kind with Dr. Ford. I never attended a gathering like the one Dr. Ford describes in her allegation. I've never sexually assaulted Dr. Ford or anyone. Again, I am not questioning that Dr. Ford may have been sexually assaulted by some person in some place at some time. But I've never done that to her or to anyone. Dr. Ford's allegation stems from a party that she alleges occurred during the summer of 1982, 36 years ago. I was 17 years old between my junior and senior years of high school at Georgetown Prep, a rigorous all-boys Catholic Jesuit high school in Rockville, Maryland. When my friends and I spent time together at parties on weekends, it was usually with friends from nearby Catholic all-girls high schools, Stone Ridge, Holy Child, Visitation, Immaculata, Holy Cross. Dr. Ford did not attend one of those schools. She attended an independent private school named Holton Arms, and she was a year behind me. She and I did not travel in the same social circles. It is possible that we met at some point, at some events, although I do not recall that. To repeat, all of the people identified by Dr. Ford as being present at the party have said they do not remember any such party ever happening. Importantly, her friend, Ms. Kaiser, has not only denied knowledge of the party, Ms. Kaiser said under penalty of felony, she does not know me, does not recall ever being at a party with me ever. And my two male friends who were allegedly there, who knew me well, have told this committee under penalty of felony that they do not recall any such party and that I never did or would do anything like this. Dr. Ford's allegation is not merely uncorroborated. It is refuted by the very people she says were there, including by a longtime friend of hers. Refuted. Third, Dr. Ford has said that this event occurred at a house near Columbia Country Club, which is at the corner of Connecticut Avenue and East-West Highway in Chevy Chase, Maryland. In her letter to Senator Feinstein, she said that there were four other people at the house. But none of those people, nor I, lived near Columbia Country Club. As of the summer of 1982, Dr. Ford was 15 and could not drive yet, and she did not live near Columbia Country Club. She says confidently that she had one beer at the party, but she does not say how she got to the house in question, or how she got home, or whose house it was. Fourth, I've submitted to this committee detailed calendars recording my activities in the summer of 1982. Why did I keep calendars? My dad started keeping detailed calendars of his life in 1978. He did so as both a calendar and a diary. It's very organized guy, to put it mildly. Christmas time, we sit around and he regales us with old stories. Old milestones, old weddings, old events from his calendars. In ninth grade, in 1980, I started keeping calendars of my own. For me also, it's both a calendar and a diary. I've kept such calendars, diaries for the last 38 years. Mine are not as good as my dad's in some years. And when I was a kid, the calendars are about what you would expect from a kid. Some goofy parts, some embarrassing parts. But I did have the summer of 1982 documented pretty well. The event described by Dr. Ford presumably happened on a weekend because I believe everyone worked and had jobs in the summers. And in any event, a drunken early evening event of the kind she describes presumably happened on a weekend. If it was a weekend, my calendars show that I was out of town almost every weekend night before football training camp started in late August. The only weekend nights that I was in D.C. were Friday, June 4, when I was with my dad at a pro golf tournament. And had my high school achievement test at 8:30 the next morning. I also was in D.C. on Saturday night, August 7th. But I was at a small gathering at Becky's house in Rockville with Matt, Denise, Lori, and Jenny. Their names are all listed on my calendar. I won't use their last names here. And then on the weekend of August 20 to 22nd, I was staying at the Garretts with Pat and Chris as we did final preparations for football training camp that began on Sunday the 22nd. As the calendars confirm, that weekend before a brutal football training camp schedule was no time for parties. So let me emphasize this point. If the party described by Dr. Ford happened in the summer of 1982 on a weekend night, my calendar shows all but definitively that I was not there. During the weekdays in the summer of 1982, as you can see, I was out of town for 2 weeks of the summer for a trip to the beach with friends and at the legendary five-star basketball camp in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. When I was in town, I spent much of my time working out, lifting weights, playing basketball, or hanging out and having some beers with friends as we talked about life and football and school and girls. Some have noticed that I didn't have church on Sundays on my calendars. I also didn't list brushing my teeth. And for me, going to church on Sundays was like brushing my teeth. Automatic. Still is.
Well, wouldn't you still put that in your diary?
In the summer of 1981, I had worked construction. In the summer of 1982, my job was cutting lawns. I had my own business of sorts. You see some specifics about the lawn cutting listed on the August calendar page. When I had to time the last lawn cuttings of the summer of various lawns before football training camp. I played in a lot of summer league basketball games for the Georgetown prep team at night at Blair High School in Silver Spring. Many nights I worked out with other guys at Tobin's house. He was the great quarterback on our football team.
Wow, that is a weird place to get
emotional.
And his
dad ran workouts. Or lifted weights at Georgetown Prep in preparation for the football season. I attended and watched many sporting events, as is my habit to this day. The calendars show a few weekday gatherings at friends' houses after a workout or just to meet up and have some beers. But none of those gatherings included the group of people that Dr. Ford has identified. And as my calendars show, I was very precise about listing who was there. Very precise. And keep in mind, my calendars also were diaries of sorts, forward-looking and backward-looking, just like my dad's. You can see, for example, that I crossed out missed workouts and the canceled doctor's appointments, and that I listed the precise people who had shown up for certain events.
July 7th, 1982.
The calendars are obviously not dispositive
Columbia,
on their own,
as in,
but they are another piece of evidence in the mix for you to consider. Fifth, Dr. Ford's allegation is radically inconsistent with my record and my character from my youth to the present day. As students at an all-boys Catholic Jesuit school, many of us became friends and remain friends to this day with students at local Catholic all-girls schools. One feature of my life that has remained true to the present day is that I've always had a lot of close female friends. I'm not talking about girlfriends. I'm talking about friends who are women. That started in high school. Maybe it was because I'm an only child and had no sisters. But anyway, we had no social media or text or email, and we talked on the phone. I remember talking almost every night, it seemed, to my friends Amy or Julie. Or Kristen or Karen or Suzanne or Maura or Megan or Nikki. The list goes on. Friends for a lifetime, built on a foundation of talking through school and life starting at age 14. Several of those great women are in the seats right behind me today. My friends and I sometimes got together and had parties on weekends. The drinking age was 18 in Maryland for most of my time in high school and was 18 in D.C. for all of my time in high school. I drank beer with my friends. Almost everyone did. Sometimes I had too many beers. Sometimes others did. I liked beer. I still like beer. But I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out, and I never sexually assaulted anyone. There is a bright line between drinking beer, which I gladly do, and which I fully embrace, and sexually assaulting someone, which is a violent crime. If every American who drinks beer, or every American who drank beer in high school, is suddenly presumed guilty of sexual assault, we'll be in an ugly new place in this country. I never committed sexual assault. As high school students, we sometimes did goofy or stupid things. I doubt we are alone in looking back at high school and cringing at some things.
You did not mention the Renata.
For one thing, our yearbook was a disaster.
Oh,
I think some editors and students wanted the yearbook to be some combination of Animal House, Caddyshack, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which were all recent movies at that time. Many of us went along in the yearbook to the point of absurdity.
We got caught with our Renate thing.
When we read about it and talked to each other.
He's not a guy who knows he's ever done anything. Yeah, he doesn't know.
One thing in particular we're sad about. One of our good female friends who we would admire and went to dances with had her name used on the yearbook page with the term alumnus. That yearbook reference was clumsily intended to show affection and that she was one of us.
What?
But in this
Get the fuck out of here.
The media's interpreted the term as related to
sex. Oh my God,
sex.
I thought he was going to apologize.
I thought he was going to cop to it.
The woman herself noted to the media on the record, she and I never had any sexual interaction at all. I'm so sorry to her for that yearbook reference.
That was the only woman or girl that he was friends with? And it just so happened the other guys in the football team were too? What?
We're all alumni of being
this
friends.
This may sound a bit trivial, given all that we are here for. But one thing I want to try to make sure of in the future is my friendship with her.
Why would you be crying?
She was and is a great person.
Yeah, it's weird.
Why would you cry if that was real? I'll get the fuck out.
This is not a topic I ever imagined would come up at a judicial confirmation hearing. But I want to give you a full picture of who I was. I never had sexual intercourse or anything close to it during high school or for many years after that. In some crowds, I was probably a little outwardly shy about my inexperience.
Until I drank.
Tried to hide that. At the same time, I was also inwardly proud of it. For me and the girls who I was friends with, that lack of major or rampant sexual activity in high school was a matter of faith and respect and caution. The committee has a letter from 65 women who knew me in high school. They said that I always treated them with dignity and respect. That letter came together in one night, 35 years after graduation, while a sexual assault allegation was pending against me in a very fraught and public situation where they knew they'd be vilified if they defended me. Think about that. They put themselves on the line for me. Those are some awesome women. And I love all of them. You also have a letter from women who knew me in college. Most were varsity athletes. And they described that I treated them as friends and equals. And supported them in their sports at a time when women's sports was emerging in the wake of Title IX. I thank all of them for all of their texts and their emails and their support. One of those women friends from college, a self-described liberal and feminist, sent me a text last night that said, quote, deep breaths. You're a good man, a good man. A good man.
God, this is so weird.
Yeah.
A text yesterday from another of those women friends from college said, quote, Brett, be strong, pulling for you to my core. A third text
people I have
yesterday
not sexually
from yet another
assaulted
of those women I'm friends
very,
with from college.
Very supportive. You
said,
know, the Renate thing is the
I'm
one that really
you in the light of God.
But beyond that, in addition, is that a lie? It's also very different from what his lawyer said, right? His lawyer said that it was because they shared a kiss.
Yeah, it was puppy love.
That's very weird.
Cherish your friends,
that they couldn't get their
friends,
story straight on that.
Lift up your friends, love your friends. I felt that love more over the last 2 weeks than I ever have in my life.
This has been going on for
about 36
minutes.
I thank all my friends.
Wow.
I love all my friends.
We're going to have to restart the stream. we lose. We can only do 4 hours. We're going to have to restart.
Throughout my
the
life,
stream with
I've
this guy.
Devoted huge efforts to encouraging and promoting the careers of women. I will put my record up against anyone's, male or female. I am proud of the letter from 84 women who worked with me at the Bush White House from 2001 to 2006 and described me as, quote, a man of the highest integrity. Read the op-ed from Sarah Day from Yarmouth, Maine. She worked in Oval Office operations outside of President Bush's office.
Did she write that before?
Here's what
or
she
after?
Recently wrote in CentralMaine.com. And today she stands by her comments. Quote, Brett was an advocate for young women like me. He encouraged me to take on more responsibility and to feel confident in my role. In fact, during the 2004 Republican National Convention, Brett gave me the opportunity to help with the preparation and review of the president's remarks, something I never would have had the chance to do if he had not included me. And he didn't just include me in the work. He made sure I was at Madison Square Garden to watch the president's speech instead of back at the hotel watching on TV.
I get the stuff about you cry when about your dad and the other thing, but I don't like understand like
weightlifting schedules and traveling with George Bush.
I've had the privilege of hiring 4 recent law school graduates to serve as my law clerks each year.
Who all had the right look, incidentally.
The law clerks for federal judges are the best and brightest graduates of American law schools. They work for 1-year terms for judges after law school, and then they move on in their careers. For judges, training these young lawyers is an important responsibility. The clerks will become the next generation of American lawyers and leaders, judges and senators. Just after I took the bench in 2006, there was a major New York Times story about the low numbers of women law clerks at the Supreme Court and federal appeals courts. I took notice and I took action. A majority of my 48 law clerks over the last 12 years have been women. In a letter to this committee, my women law clerk said I was one of the strongest advocates.
You know who else
hired
a lot of
women lawyers?
Kaczynski?
And they Kaczynski,
but also Donald
is
Trump.
Fairer and more equal because of
called
me.
Amy Chua. I said, you send
my
me
time on the
pieces.
Bench. No federal
Love
judge,
pieces.
Not a single one in the country, has sent more women law clerks to clerk on the Supreme Court
Binders
than I have. Before this allegation arose 2 weeks ago, I was required to start making certain administrative preparations for my possible transfer to the Supreme Court, just in case I was confirmed. As part of that, I had to, in essence, contingently hire a first group of 4 law clerks, you know, who could be available to clerk at the Supreme Court for me on a moment's notice. I did so and contingently hired 4 law clerks. All 4 are women. If confirmed, I'll be the first justice in the history of the Supreme Court to have a group of all women law clerks. That is who I am. That is who I was. Over the past 12 years, I've taught constitutional law to hundreds of students, primarily at Harvard Law School, while I was hired by then Dean and now Justice Elena Kagan. One of my former women students, a Democrat, testified to this committee that I was an even-handed professor who treats people fairly and with respect. In a letter to this committee, my former students, male and female alike, wrote that I displayed a character that impressed us all. I love teaching law, but thanks to what some of you on this side of the committee have unleashed, I may never be able to teach again. For the past 7 years, I've coached my 2 daughters' basketball teams. You saw many of those girls when they came to my hearing for a couple of hours. You have a letter from the parents of the girls I coached that describe my dedication, commitment, and character. I coach because I know that a girl's confidence on the basketball court translates into confidence in other aspects of life. I love coaching more than anything I've ever done in my whole life. But thanks to what some of you on this side of the committee have unleashed,
news is you
I
might
may
have
never
more
be
time
able
to
coach
to
again. I've been a judge for 12 years. I have a long record of service to America and to the Constitution. I revere the Constitution. I am deeply grateful to President Trump for nominating me. He was so gracious to my family and me on the July night he announced my nomination at the White House. I thank him for his steadfast support. When
Trump's
I accepted the president's nomination,
supporting him now.
Ashley and I knew this process would be challenging.
Thanks for your, yeah.
We never
really
expected that it would devolve into this. Explaining this to our daughters has been about the worst experience of our lives. Ashley has been a rock. I thank God every day for Ashley and my family. We live in a country devoted to due process and the rule of law. That means taking allegations seriously.
He doesn't want anybody to listen to the questions, I think, is what's going on.
But if the
here.
Mere allegation, the mere assertion of an allegation, a refuted allegation from 36 years ago, is
Can
enough to destroy a person's life and career,
he's just not going to get the job.
We will have abandoned the basic principles of fairness and due process that define our legal system and our country.
Maybe he's worried the investigation is going to go on.
I ask you to judge me by the standard that you would want applied to your father, your husband, your brother, or your son.
So sort of a weird gendered
My family
call,
and
it,
I intend no ill will toward Dr. Ford or her family. But I swear today, under oath, before the Senate and the nation, before my family and God, I am innocent of this charge.
Thank you, Judge Kavanaugh. Before we start questions,
Hatch is snoring.
I won't repeat what I said this morning, but we'll do it the same way as we did for Dr. Ford and 5-minute rounds. And so we will start with Ms. Mitchell.
Prosecutor is going to be asking. I mean, of course they have to, right? Here comes this is.
Good afternoon, Judge Kavanaugh. We have not met. My name is Rachel Mitchell. I'd like to go over a couple of guidelines for our question and answer session today. If I ask a question.
Do you want a tissue?
Yeah, I'm ready.
If I ask a question, if I ask a question that you do not understand, please ask me to clarify it or ask it in a different way. I may ask a question where I incorporate some information you've already provided. If I get it wrong, please correct me. I'm not going to ask you to guess. If you do estimate, please let me know you're estimating. Now, I want to make sure that all of the committee members have gotten a copy of the definition of sexual behavior.
Yes, at least I have one.
Make sure they were on top of
And you have that as well, Judge Kavanaugh?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, have you been given or reviewed a copy of the questions that I will be asking you?
No.
Has anyone told you the questions that I will be asking you?
No.
I want you to take a moment to review the definition that's before you of sexual behavior.
Sexual behavior? What if we find out that Kavanaugh can't read? I hope he doesn't get to the definition of sexual assault and go.
Have you had a chance to review it?
I have. I may refer back to it if I can.
Can yes, I revise please. My testimony?
I'd like to point out two specific parts. Among the examples of sexual behavior, it includes rubbing or grinding your genitals against somebody, clothed or unclothed. And I would also point out that the definition applies whether or not the acts were sexually motivated or, for example, horseplay. Do you understand the definition I've given you?
I do.
And again, if at any time you need to review that, please let me know. Dr. Ford has stated that somewhere between 5 or 6 people were present at the gathering on this date. You, Mark Judge, Leland Ingham at the time, or Leland Kaiser now, Patrick P.J. Smith, Dr. Ford, and an unnamed boy. Do you know Mark Judge?
I do.
How do you know him?
He was a friend at Georgetown Prep starting in 9th grade. He's a...
Judge?
Someone that... we were in our, you know, group of friends. We're a very friendly group in class. You saw the letter that's been sent by my friends from Georgetown Prep. Funny guy. Great writer.
Great writer.
Popular. Developed a serious addiction problem that lasted decades. Near death a couple times from his addiction. Suffered tremendously from...
What is your relationship with him like now?
I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. We've probably been on, you know, mass emails that or group emails that go around among my high school friends.
Okay. And how did you know Patrick Smith?
Also 9th grade, Georgetown Prep. Went by PJ then. He and I lived close to one another. Played football together. He was defensive tackle. I was the cornerback, wide receiver. We carpooled to school along with D. Davis every year, the three of us, for 2 years. I didn't have a car, so one of the two of them would drive every day, and I'd be in the, you know, they'd pick me up.
What's your relationship like with him now?
He lives in the area. I see him once in a while. I haven't seen him since this thing.
Do you know Leland Ingham or Leland Kaiser?
I know of her, and it's possible I, you know, met her in high school at some point at some event. Yeah, I know her. I know of her, and again, I don't want to rule out having crossed paths with her in high school.
Similar to your statements about knowing Dr. Ford.
Correct.
Senator Feinstein.
Judge Kavanaugh, it's my understanding that you have denied the allegations by Dr. Ford, Ms. Ramirez, and Ms. Swetnick. Is that correct?
Yes.
All three of these women have asked the FBI to investigate their claims. I listened carefully to what you said. Your concern is evident and clear. And if you're very confident of your position, and you appear to be, why aren't you also asking the FBI to investigate these claims?
Senator, I'll do whatever the committee wants. I wanted a hearing the day after the allegation came up. Just I wanted to be here that day.
Calm down.
10 days passed where all this nonsense is coming out. You know, that I'm in gangs, I'm on boats in Rhode Island, I'm in Colorado.
You know, he's doing that again. Like, you know, this is all stuff that was leaked by the Republicans.
And these things are printed and run breathlessly by cable news. You know, I wanted a hearing the next day. My family's been destroyed by this, Senator.
So not an investigation, then?
destroyed.
And
whoever wants, you know, whatever the committee decides, you know, I'm all in immediately. I'm all in immediately.
And the terrible and hard part of this is, when we get an allegation, we're not in a position to prove it or disprove it. Therefore, we have to depend on some outside authority for it. And it just seemed to me then, when these allegations came forward, that you would want the FBI to investigate those claims and clear it up once and for all.
Senator, the committee investigates. It's not for me to say how to do it, but just so you know, the FBI doesn't reach a conclusion. They would give you a couple 302s that just tell you what we said.
Gosh.
So I'm here. I wanted to be here the next day.
That's not about the FBI
investigation. It's an outrage that I was not allowed to come and immediately defend my name and say, I didn't do this and give you all this evidence. I'm not even in D.C. on the weekends in the summer of 1982. This happened on a weekday? Well, when I'm not at a Blair High School for a summer league game? I'm not at Tobin's house working out? I'm not at a movie with Suzanne? You know, I wanted to be here right away.
Well, the difficult thing is that these hearings are set and set by the majority. But I'm talking about getting
this
the evidence
has the
and
feeling
having
of
the
like
evidence
it could get
looked at.
Super dramatic.
And
soon.
I don't understand.
Don't think it already is.
No, but I'm saying like he seems to
well,
be having a bit
know,
of a breakdown.
We hear from the witnesses
yes.
to sort of reaching for everything he's been coached on.
I think that was
but
clear
the
about
FBI
20 minutes
isn't
into
interviewing
his...
them and isn't giving us any facts. So all we have.
You're interviewing me.
Say,
you're interviewing me. You're doing it, Senator. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're doing it. That's there's no conclusions reached.
Wow.
And what you're saying, if I understand it, is that the allegations by Dr. Ford, Ms. Ramirez, and Ms. Svetnick are wrong.
Yeah, that is emphatically what I'm saying. Emphatically. The Svetnick thing is a joke. That is a farce.
Would you like to say more about it?
No.
Okay. That's it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Mitchell.
Jesus.
Just keep asking
more
FBI questions.
Dr. Ford has described you as being intoxicated at a party. Did you consume alcohol during your high school years?
Yes, we drank beer. My friends and I, the boys and girls. Yes, we drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer. We drank beer. The drinking age, as
himself.
I noted, was
beers,
18, so the seniors were legal.
Beers and beer
high
drinkers.
School, people were legal.
An oppressed class.
To drink. And we drank beer. And I said sometimes probably had too many beers, and sometimes other people had too many beers. Drank beer. We liked beer.
What do you consider to be too many beers?
I don't know. You know, whatever the chart says. On your blood alcohol chart.
What?
What is going on?
Talked to Fox News the other night, you said that there were times in high school when people might have had too many beers on occasion. Does that include you?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever passed out from drinking?
Passed out would be no, but I've gone to sleep, but I've never blacked out. That's the allegation. That's wrong.
So let's talk about your time in high school. In high school, after drinking, did you ever wake up in a different location than you remembered passing out or going to sleep?
No.
Did you ever wake up with your clothes in a different condition or fewer clothes on than you remembered when you went to sleep or passed out?
No.
Did you ever tell, did anyone ever tell you about something that happened in your presence that you didn't remember during a time that you had been drinking?
No. We drank beer and, you know, so did I think the vast majority of of people our age at the time. But in any event, we drank beer and
we drank beer.
Still do.
Beer.
So whatever.
Beer.
Still
beer.
Like it. I still
beer.
Like it.
I love it. I love
could
it.
Go for
beer.
One right now.
I drink beer. School,
you want a cold
when
one?
You would be drinking, did anyone ever tell you about something that you did not remember?
No.
Mitchell thinks he's guilty.
Dr. Ford described a done small here. Gathering of people at a suburban Maryland home in the summer of 1982. She said that Mark Judge, P.J. Smith, and Leland Ingham also were present, as well as an unknown male, and that the people were drinking to varying degrees. Were you ever at a gathering that fits that description?
No, as I've said in my opening statement.
Dr. Ford described an incident where she was alone in a room with you and Mark Judge. Have you ever been alone in a room with Dr. Ford and Mark Judge?
No.
Dr. Ford described an incident where you were grinding your genitals on her. Have you ever ground or rubbed your genitals against Dr. Ford?
No.
Dr. Ford described an incident where you covered her mouth with your hand. Have you ever covered Dr. Ford's mouth with your hand?
No.
Dr. Ford described an incident where you tried to remove her clothes. Have you ever tried to remove her clothes?
No.
Referring back to the definition of sexual behavior that I have given you, have you ever at any time engaged in sexual behavior with Dr. Ford?
No.
Have you ever engaged in sexual behavior with Dr. Ford, even if it was consensual?
No.
I want to talk about your calendars. You submitted to the committee copies of the handwritten calendars that you've talked about for the months of May, June, July, and August of 1982. You have them in front of you?
I do.
Did you create these calendars in the sense of all the handwriting that's on them?
Yes.
Okay. Is it exclusively your handwriting?
Yes.
When did you make these entries?
In 1982.
Has anything changed, been changed for those since 1982?
No.
Do these calendars represent your plans for each day, or do they document, in other words, prospectively, or do they document what actually occurred?
She's just wasting time.
More like a diary.
They're both forward-looking and backward-looking, as you can tell by looking at them, because I cross out certain doctor's appointments that didn't happen, or one night where I was supposed to lift weights, I crossed that out because I obviously didn't make it that night. So you can see things that I didn't do crossed out in retrospect. And also when I list the specific people who I was with, that is likely backward looking.
You explained that you kept these calendars because your father started keeping them in 1978, I believe you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you kept them. In other words, you wrote on them, but why did you keep them up until this time?
Well, he's kept them, too, since 1978, so he's a good role model.
Miss Mitchell, you'll have to stop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Judge Kavanaugh has asked for a break, so we'll take a 15-minute break.
What? He's taking a break now? So we're taking a break because the judge is taking a break. That was super strange. I mean, I mean, first off, how does she not follow up on the question, the softball question of how many beers are too many beers? And he says, I don't know what the chart says, blood alcohol. What? What the hell does that even mean? You can't say how many beers are too many beers. You can't say 10 beers are too many beers. Six beers, 24 beers are too many beers.
There are no too many beers for a guy like that.
But honestly, it's weird. It's weird. You don't want to be specific about how many too many beers are? I would contend that you don't ask that question. You don't want to answer that question because there's somebody out there who's going to say, I saw that dude have 6 beers. I saw that dude have 10 beers. That is a very weird question. Remember, this is the woman who is hired by the Republicans questioning him, right? Her mandate is not to catch this guy up on a lie. I'm sorry. That was very, very odd.
Every part of it was odd. Do you want to try a random Rush sound?
Or should we do the
show already over? Oh, I guess Rush
is well long gone.
Yeah, my bad. Someone recommended it, but yeah, sure.
I mean, that is pretty shocking. And...
Well, the Feinstein question where she's like, why aren't you also calling for an FBI investigation? And he's like, I'm so innocent. I wanted to testify before that can even happen.
It is pretty stunning, too, that he won't call for an FBI investigation. I mean, I think that should be. The Democrats should keep.
There. Yeah,
that's what they're going to focus on.
And what's amazing
in a both
is, like,
forward and backward looking way.
How do you not know that that's not going to come up? I mean. On top of which, I know this ship, you know, has sailed, and like it would actually, like on some level, to even raise this is sort of ignoring what the reality of the court and who this guy is. But this guy's so angry about what's gone on here. I don't know. Maybe he feels like because Thomas got away with saying this is a high-tech lynching type of situation that he can do this as well. But
I rewatched the Clarence Thomas thing recently, and it was a very well-executed piece of theater. It wasn't like this is all over. You know what I mean? I mean, it didn't have this other sort of, I mean. There's a lot going on there, and it does not seem... I mean, one part of it seems like, okay, like Brendan sent us the piece from the Wall Street Journal, like some advisor saying, like, hey, man, you shouldn't be totally emotionally muted about these things like you were on Fox.
But oh, yeah, no, definitely. Like, that was
so
well reported.
Yeah, but I think the kind of unhinged, sort of random all over the place part of it is not... was not what they were planning on, right?
Right.
I just saw Elon Musk has been charged with fraud by the SEC.
So, oh, my. So. Wow. We also have Hannity if we want to.
Very intense time. Yeah.
We could do a random Hannity, although that seems like shooting fish in a barrel. But, I mean, he's not going to be saying anything other than
QAnon.
He's not going to be saying anything other than like random, talking points that he gets that he's been handed. But I guess we
beer
should.
Fucking let's rules. Listen.
Hold on. Let's see. He just had a couple beers.
The cliff and she's going to die.
Okay. All right, folks. Rush Limbaugh is no longer on because it is now 4:15 in the afternoon. So we'll try a random Hannity where I listen to Sean Hannity for 60 seconds and refute him in 90. All right, let's go.
Slander, besmirchment, character assassination.
Oh, gosh.
As a matter of due course. And it's not just elections. It's Robert Bork, it's Clarence Thomas, now it's Judge Kavanaugh. I mean, where does this guy ever go to get away from this for the rest of his life? You know, when you go through this slowly, and you go through the guy that's passed 6 background checks... You know, all of every single person that seems to know him throughout the last 40 years, everybody says the most wonderful things about him. He's never faced until 12, 13 days ago any allegation of this nature of any kind. The Democrats playing games holding on to this information since July. You know, we know what they all are. You know, in the case of Professor Ford, she can't remember a date, a location, even the exact year of the alleged incident. She can't remember what happened before or after the incident.
Okay. So let's just start with this. He asked the question, where does someone go to get their name back in this situation? There are 3 places you could go. The F, the B, and the I. They could do an investigation and present all the facts. We found no corroborating information. We don't, no conclusions. We found no corroborating information. There were only, there were 30 people who said, no, they didn't know each other. We went to the guy, Garrett, remember? The guy Garrett that Whelan named, who Ford says introduced us. If the FBI went to him and they asked that guy, did you introduce them? Did they know each other? And he said, absolutely not. Then she is completely impeached, her testimony. If he says absolutely yes, then Kavanaugh is a liar. Maybe he says, I don't remember. But that, where's that guy? You ask that one question of that guy, and there's a 75% chance you're going to get the answer to all of this. But then Hannity, so you can go to the FBI, but he doesn't want to do that.
Today.
If you want to find out what the date is that this happened, what year, and approximately when, she just told you. 68 weeks after it happened, she saw Mark Judge working at that Safeway. They can easily find out exactly what the span of time is and get an approximate date from that period of time. But Sean Hannity just reading off talking points. They're going to go with the Dems conspired about this. It's a smear. Well,
that still doesn't address the why you wouldn't have the FBI look into all these fake allegations.
No, in fact, it's the opposite.
Yep.
If you think this is a smear, the FBI was your friend. All right, that's all I got. Well, that was really 2 minutes, but oh, fuck Hannity.
When we lifted, then we had beer. I like beer.
Still like it.
I still like it.
Dr. Chaos.
Make no apologies. MD.
Ask the moms.
Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh's worried he won't teach law ever again, but I'm sure they have tenured position waiting for him at some right-wing schools like Liberty University or George Mason. Indeed. The idea that that guy's not going to be making more cash if he gets robbed is just... He was so worried about Monica Lewinsky, too, who had to, what, she had to leave the country. Did you see that during the second research? I think the reason he was crying at such weird times is because just crying over losing his shot at the Supreme Court. I've got people texting me who say maybe he's crying because he was just told at the break, like, this probably ain't going to happen for you, bud. But
or he's drunk.
But or,
he does seem like he's a
he
bit.
He does seem a bit. I mean, I don't.
That might be some like learned behavior, yeah. Like muscle memory or something.
Like muscle memory, like lifting.
Supreme cuck of the United States. How easy would it be for the Democrats to make the connection that people who want to commit state violence against women have a history of committing violence against women? Alpha, random rush, too late. Oh, this is all from, oh, this is from hours ago. Let me, wow, okay. Let me just, let's pick one here and see if I can't. Worcester Polycon, that's at 155. What? No. Maybe that's not Richard from Ohio. 156. I'm going to try and get some that are more recent. Sorry, folks. Kavanaugh's virginity. Is he a dry drunk? Boner style tears. All right, let me just go through this way and we'll do it that. Brandon Kavanaugh. Despite what Grassley says, I haven't been accused of anything. Max in Phoenix. I hate flying. I'd love to see Japan. If I have the money, I'll fly because I can't teleport. Maybe we should just do a... I mean, I don't even know what to say at this point. I mean, this is the Kavanaugh thing. I thought... I'm genuinely surprised. I thought this guy was going to come out and be a lot more calm and methodical. But within one question, you started to see this thing, the seams come apart. Even from... The friendly questioner, how many beers are too many? I'm not going to say what.
All of this, like,
why don't you
emoting, and then it's like, oh, I don't know the legal limit.
Just be very glib about abusive alcoholism.
All Feinstein asked about was the possibility of an FBI investigation. And he's like, he started losing.
Well, what he did was said, I want whatever the Republicans on the committee want, which makes me think they've assured him that, we're not going to call for that FBI investigation.
Well, of course. But that's a very, very odd thing for someone who is so passionate about exonerating himself, who's so angry that his name has been besmirched, that he's going to allow that besmirchment to be a function of the committee saying we don't need that.
Yeah, you'd say to hell with you guys.
Right.
Because there's a bigger thing at stake here. And this is what must happen.
Even if you're going to be voted on to the Supreme Court.
All right. And you want
you have an opportunity
in that position
to have your name cleared. The FBI may not provide a conclusive report, but they may bring enough facts that reasonable people could say this guy didn't do it.
Right, but that obviously speaks to
It's a very postmodern move of like the FBI doesn't establish capital T truth. They can establish some facts like when the guy worked at the grocery store. That you're trying to nail her on.
Yeah, you're trying to nail her on specific things and then saying, like, how could you know everything between your weightlifting and study sessions? Maybe they actually can establish the areas where you haven't been forthcoming.
Lying.
But I mean, even just, this is like an infinitesimal point, relatively speaking, but it's like judicial temperament.
Well, yes, I tweeted that out earlier. I was like, remember when that was a thing?
Right.
Amazing the way they equate Bork. Like, Bork was stopped because he was a ideological extremist with a horrible agenda. It didn't have anything to do with anything he did.
With Nixon baggage.
Let's go to calling from a 478 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Sam, this is Jeff in Georgia. Can you hear me?
Jeff in Georgia. What's going on?
Hey, man, not much. Just watching the same fucking dumpster fire you are. I think this kind of reminds me of a bad sitcom with a really weak B story, right? Because I feel like I'm watching two different hearings at the same time, and like one's being run by the Dems and it's mostly pretty good, and the other one's being run by a bunch of like cold-blooded sociopaths. The only point I really wanted to make, Sam, is that I think some of these GOP ghouls up there made a huge mistake. I think they bought into their own bullshit. I think some of those motherfuckers actually believed their own bullshit, that she was bullshit, that she is lying, that she isn't right about any of this. And it really didn't occur to them until this day that actually, no, she might get up there and actually know what she's talking about and be telling the truth. Right? Like, I don't understand what got into their heads to make them say this is going to play like anything but a lead balloon with anyone who's a reasonable person in this country.
That's the way we react to a lot of stuff. There's no doubt in my mind that when we turn on Hannity this evening, he is going to be talking about how, look at him, there was a lot of passion. This is a guy who's telling the truth. I mean, this is going to be one of those stories where there are two separate narratives. Just like you think you're watching two separate narratives in this, there's going to be two separate narratives that are going to exist within the context of our society. And the real question is, which one does Jeff Flake or Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, which one do they want to be a part of? And it's going to come down to those three. I mean, that's basically it.
It's a fool who puts too much faith in those kinds of people. But I got to be honest with you, this is so much worse than I ever thought it could be that I think this dude might be done. I actually think he's likely to be finished. I think that's why he's so emotional right now. He's either drunk or he knows he ain't getting a job. That's why he's going on about going back to law school teaching, right? Like, why would he do that if he thought he was getting a job?
He's speaking like he's done. I think you're totally right.
I hope so. I love having 8 hours MR a day, y'all. Yeehaw!
Okay.
Don't get used to it.
All right, I think...
Right.
It's because this week didn't feel long enough.
I drink beer. I like to gabble.
Amy Schumer is my friend.
I'm all in with what, however the Republicans want to protect me.
Whatever you guys want to do. I called Amy Schumer up. I said, get me nines at least.
I'm going to wait for Senator Feinstein. Or do you want me to go ahead with you without Feinstein?
I was waiting for you.
More anger this time, Brett.
I hope I showed up.
Look as unhinged as possible.
Brett, I would dial it back just a little bit. Like 14 beers is too many. We don't have anybody who reports that they've seen you drink 14 beers. We're going to try that again. They'll ask you one more time.
What is the fucking blood alcohol level rates? That's what I need to know.
I told you guys. That's what we're new to do.
Senator Leahy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge, you said before and again today that Mark Judge was a close friend of yours in high school. Now, Dr. Ford, as you know, said that he was in the room when she was attacked. She also says you were, too. Unfortunately, the FBI has never interviewed him. We've not been able to have his attendance here. The chairman refuses to call him. If she's saying Mark Judge was in the room then he should be in the room here today. Would you want him called as a witness?
Senator, this allegation came into the committee.
Oh, no, I mean, just asking the question. Would you want him to be here as a witness?
He's already provided sworn testimony to the committee. This allegation's been hidden members of the committee.
It has not been investigated by the FBI. The committee has refused to allow it to be.
It was dropped on me. It was sprung.
It was not investigated by the FBI, and he has not been called where he might be under.
Should have been handled in the due course, Senator. When he came in.
I would disagree with that. Sounds like a guy who really wants to exonerate himself. Both Republicans and Democrats. I've never seen somebody that critical and not allowed to be here to called to be testified or an FBI background. But
he's provided sworn testimony. Senator, let me finish. The allegation came in weeks ago, and nothing was done with it by the ranking member, and then it sprung on me.
Judge Kavanaugh, I've heard your line, and you stated it over and over again, and I have that well in mind. But let me ask you this. He authored a book titled Wasted, Tales of a Gen X Drunk. He references a Bart O'Kavanaugh vomiting in someone's car during beach week and then passing out. Is that you that he's talking about?
Senator, Mark Judge was...
To your knowledge, is that you that he's talking about?
I'll explain if you let me.
Proceed, please.
Mark Judge was a friend of ours in high school who developed a very serious drinking problem, an addiction problem, that lasted decades and was very difficult for him to escape from. And he nearly died. Mm-hmm. And then he had leukemia as well on top of it. Now, as part of his therapy or part of his coming to grips with sobriety, he wrote a book that is a fictionalized book and an account. I think he picked out names of friends of ours to throw them in as kind of close to what for characters in the book. So we don't know whether that's you or not. We can sit here and you like make fun of some guy who has an addiction.
I'm trying to get a straight answer from you under oath. Are you Bart Kavanaugh that he's referring to? Yes or no?
You'd have to ask him.
Well,
we can't ask him.
We can't ask him.
The chairman had him here under oath. Now, you talked about your yearbook. In your yearbook, you talked about drinking and sexual exploits, did you not?
Senator, let me take a step back and explain.
That was a fictional account of my high school years as well.
I was number one in the class. freshman.
And I thought
No.
I thought only the Senate.
You got this up. I'm gonna talk about my high school. No. I'm gonna
let him answer.
I'm gonna talk about my high school record. If you're gonna sit here and mock me,
I think we were all very fair to Dr. Ford. Shouldn't we be just as fair to Judge Kavanaugh?
Say,
I busted my butt in academics. I always tried to do the best I could. So I recall I finished one in the class, first in freshman and junior year, right up at the top with Steve Clark and Eddie Ayala. We were always kind of in the mix. I played sports. I was captain of the varsity basketball
team. Drank beer.
I was wide receiver and defensive back on the football team.
What?
I ran track in the spring of 82 to try to get faster.
This is a huge filibuster, isn't it?
Service projects at the school. Ask the mom. Kitchen downtown. Let me finish. And going to tutor intellectually disabled kids at the Rockville Library with the church. And, yes, we got together with our friends.
Does this reflect what you are? Does this yearbook reflect your focus on academics and your respect for women? That's easy, yes or no. You don't have to filibuster the answer. Does it reflect your focus on
said the yearbook in my opening statement. The yearbook is obviously...
Just wait a minute. He's asked the question. I'll give you time to answer it.
The yearbook, as I said in my opening statement, was something where the students and editors made a decision to treat some of it as farce and some of it as exaggeration, some of it celebrating things that don't reflect the things that were really the central part of our school.
Yearbook.
Yes, we went to parties, though. Yes, of course. We went to parties, and the yearbook page describes that and kind of makes fun of it. And as a if we want to sit here and talk about whether a Supreme Court nomination should be based on a high school yearbook page, I think that's taken us to a new level of absurdity.
So, Ms. Mitchell.
Well, we got a filibuster, but not a single answer.
Ms. Mitchell.
Judge, do you still have your calendars there?
I do.
I would like you to look at the July 1st entry.
Yes.
The entry says, and I quote, "Go to Timmy's for skis with Judge, Tom, PJ, Bernie, and Squee."
Squee. Okay. That's a nickname.
Okay. To what does this refer and to whom?
So first says Tobin's House workout. So that's one of the football workouts that we would have that Dr. Finizio would run. For guys on the football team during the summer. So we would be there. That's usually 6 to 8 or so, kind of till near dark. And then it looks like we went over to Timmy's. You want to know their last names too? I'm happy to do it.
If you could just identify, is Judge Mark Judge?
It is.
And is PJ Smith?
It is. So... It's Tim Gaudette, Mark Judge, Tom Kane, PJ Smith, Bernie McCarthy, Chris Garrett.
Chris Garrett is Squee?
He is.
Did you, in your calendar, routinely document social gatherings like house parties or gatherings of friends in your calendar?
Yes, it certainly appears that way. That's what I was doing in the summer of 1982, and you can see that reflected on several of the entries.
If a gathering like Dr. Ford has described had occurred, would you have documented that?
Yes, because I documented everything, those kinds of events, even small get-togethers. August 7th is another good example where I documented a small get-together.
So that was a party piece.
So, yes.
August 7th. Could you read that?
I think that's go to Becky's, Matt, Denise,
This
Lori,
is also just more filibustering.
Jenny.
Why don't they just say we're not going to do the other 5 minutes? And so
have
we can all wrap this up.
Well, because then you'd get all the Democrats talking in a row
May,
and it'd be much
June,
more interesting.
July and August of 1982.
I have.
Is there anything that could even remotely fit what we're talking about?
How about July 7th, Columbia?
No.
Columbia. What is that? What is involved with that? July 7th,
as a lawyer,
Columbia,
and a judge, are you? We've talked about the FBI. Are you aware that this type of offense would actually be investigated by local police?
Yes, I mentioned Montgomery County Police earlier. Yes.
Are you aware that in Maryland there is no statute of limitations that would prohibit you being charged even if this happened in 1982?
That's my understanding.
Have you at any time been contacted by any members of local police agencies regarding this matter?
No, ma'am.
Prior to your nomination for Supreme Court, you've talked about all of the female clerks you've had and the women that you've worked with. I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about globally. Have you ever been accused, either formally or informally, of unwanted sexual behavior?
No.
And when I say informally, I mean just a female complaints. It doesn't have to be to anybody else but you.
No.
Since Dr. Ford's allegation was made public, how many times have you been interviewed by the committee?
It's been a 3 or 4. I'm
Oh, you can't remember? You can't remember?
It's been several times. Each of these new things, absurd as they are, we get on the phone and kind of go through them.
So have you submitted 2 interviews specifically about Dr. Ford's allegation?
Yes.
And what about Deborah Ramirez's allegation that
yes,
you waved your penis in front of her?
Yes.
What about Julie Swetnick's allegation that you repeatedly engaged in drugging and gang raping or allowing women to be gang raped?
Yes. Yes, I've been interviewed about it.
Were your answers to my questions today consistent with the answers that you gave to the committee in these various interviews?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I see I'm out of time.
Senator Durbin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Kavanaugh,
nice
earlier today,
to
Dr. Christine Ford sat in that same chair.
5 minutes.
And under oath, she said clearly and unequivocally that she was the victim of sexual assault at your hands. She answered our questions directly, and she didn't flinch at the prospect of submitting herself to an FBI investigation of these charges. We know, and I'm sure she's been advised by our attorneys, that a person lying to the FBI can face criminal prosecution. You have clearly and unequivocally denied that you assaulted Dr. Ford. With that statement, you must believe that there is no credible evidence or any credible witness that could prove otherwise. You started off with an impassioned statement at the beginning, and I can imagine, try to imagine, what you have been through or your family's been through, and I'm sure I wouldn't get close to it. But it was an impassioned...
No, you wouldn't.
I'm sure I wouldn't. It's an impassioned statement. And in the course of it, you said, "I welcome any kind of investigation." I quote you. "I welcome any kind of investigation." I've got a suggestion for you. Right now, turn to your left in the front row, to Don McGahn, counsel to President Donald Trump. Ask him to suspend this hearing and nomination process until the FBI completes its investigation of the charges made by Dr. Ford and others and goes to bring the witnesses forward and provides that information to this hearing. I'm sure that the chairman at that point will understand that that is a reasonable request to finally put to rest these charges if they are false.
Good for Durbin.
Or to prove them if they are not. You spent 2 years in the White House office that approved judicial nominees. You turned to the FBI over and over and over again for their work. Let's bring them in here and now. Turn to Don McGahn and tell him it's time to get this done. An FBI investigation is the only way to answer some of these questions.
Stop the clock. This committee
Grassley
is running this hearing.
I'm not going
not
to.
Not the White House. Not Don McGahn, not even you as a nominee.
I'm not going to allow him to answer your question.
We are here today.
All our hands are tied.
Because Dr. Ford asked for an opportunity here. I know you did too as well. In fact, maybe even before she did. Because people wanted to be heard from charges that they all thought were unfair, or activities like sexual assault was unfair. So I want to assure Senator Durbin, regardless of what you say to Senator Don McGahn, we're not suspending this hearing.
He's not a senator.
Proceed to answer the question, or whatever, or if the gentleman...
I'll just say this. If you, Judge Kavanaugh, turned Don McGahn and to this committee and say, for the sake of my reputation, my family name, and to get to the bottom of the truth of this, I am not going to be an obstacle to an FBI investigation, I would hope that all the members of the committee would join me in saying, we're going to abide by your wishes, and we will have that investigation.
I welcome whatever the committee wants to do, because I'm telling the truth.
I want to know what you want to do.
I'm telling the truth.
I want to know what you want to do, Judge.
I'm innocent. I'm innocent of this charge.
Then you're prepared for an FBI investigation?
They don't reach conclusions. You reach the conclusion.
No, they do investigate questions.
I'm innocent.
And you can't have it both ways, Judge. You can't say here at the beginning,
I wanted a hearing
moment, look, I welcome thing, any kind of investigation.
This thing was sprung on me. This thing was sprung at the last minute after being held by staff.
I'm going to revert
Judge, and I called for a hearing immediately.
If there is no truth to her charges, the FBI investigation will show that. Or are you afraid that they might not?
No. Come on, Jay Whip.
The FBI does not reach. That's a phony question because the FBI doesn't reach conclusions.
So
they just provide the 302s. 302s, so I can explain to people who don't know what that is. They just go and do what you're doing. Ask questions and then type up a report. They don't reach the bottom line.
This morning I asked Dr. Ford. I asked her about this incident where she ran into Mark Judge at Safeway. And she said, sure, I remember, 6 or 8 weeks after this occurrence. Well, someone at the Washington Post went in and took a look at Mr. Judge's book and has been able to, the run that he wrote about his addiction and his alcoholism. And they have narrowed it down what they think was a period of time, 6 or 8 weeks after the event. And he would have been working at the Safeway at that point. So the point I'm getting to is we at least can connect some dots here and get some information. Why would you resist that investigation? Why would you resist that kind of investigation?
Sir, I wanted the hearing last week.
The hearing?
I'm asking about the FBI investigation.
The committee figures out how to ask the questions. I'll do whatever. I've been on the phone multiple times with committee counsel. I'll talk to...
Judge Kavanaugh, will you support an FBI investigation right now?
I will do whatever the committee wants to...
Personally, do you think that's the best thing for us to do?
I didn't... train for that question.
You know, look, Senator, I've
help me out, guys.
I've said I wanted a hearing, and I said I was welcome anything. I'm innocent. This thing was
held on me. Sprung.
Could have been
goodbye. Sprung. Sprung.
In an ordinary way.
Hashtag sprung.
And handled confidentially at first.
OJ
Simpson's
what Dr.
Ford's wishes were.
I know.
I understand
unbelievable.
And wouldn't have caused this, like, destroyed my family like this. This
call the investigation.
Call the investigation.
I think an FBI investigation will help all of us on both sides of the issue.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Senator Graham asked for the floor.
That was Durbin.
Before he does,
Durbin, I got.
It seems to me.
Asked the question in a way that they hadn't practiced. And so he didn't
know
how to answer.
You got the witness right here to.
Just
to
note
ask
that. Will you
secondly,
please put three asterisks
FBI
next to that?
Report. You can ask for it yourself. I've asked for FBI reports in the past. In the 38 years I've been in the Senate.
Oh, so now there
Senator
can be an FBI
Graham.
Report. Before it was only
are
the president.
Are you aware that at 9:23 on the night of July the 9th, the day you were nominated to the Supreme Court by President Trump, Senator Schumer said, 23 minutes after your nomination, I will oppose Judge Kavanaugh's nomination with everything I have. I have a bipartisan, and I hope a bipartisan majority will do the same.
Lindsey Graham.
The stakes are
trying
simply
to win
too
that
high
primary
for anything less. Well, if you weren't aware of it, you are now. Did you meet with Senator Dianne Feinstein on August 20th?
I did meet with Senator Feinstein.
Did you know that her staff had already recommended a lawyer to Dr. Ford?
I did not know that.
Did you know that her and her staff had this allegations for over 20 days?
I did not know that at the time.
Wait a second.
If you wanted an FBI investigation, you could have come to us. What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that, not me. You've got nothing to apologize for. When you see Sotomayor and Kagan, tell them that Lindsey said hello, because I voted for them.
I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy. Are you a gang rapist?
No.
I cannot imagine what you and
he
your
seemed
family
a little surprised by his answer.
Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it. Really? I hope the American people can see through this sham.
Oh, my Lord.
That you knew about it and you held it. You had no intention of protecting Dr. Ford. None. She's as much of a victim as you are. God, I hate to say it because these have been my friends.
I think sort of the victim.
But let me tell you, when it comes to this, you're looking for a fair process. You came to the wrong town at the wrong time, my friend. Do you consider this a job interview?
Why does Lindsey Graham like now?
You consider that you've been through a job interview.
Right.
I've been through a process of advice and consent under the Constitution. Which
would you say you've been through hell?
I've been through hell and then some.
This is not a job interview.
Yeah.
This is hell.
This
is going to destroy the ability of good people to come forward because of this crap. Your high school yearbook. You have interacted with professional women all your life, not one accusation. You're supposed to be Bill Cosby when you're a junior and senior in high school. And all of a sudden, you got over it. It's been my understanding
in college
that if you drug women and rape them for 2 years in high school, you probably don't stop. Here's my understanding. If you lived a good life, people would recognize it, like the American Bar Association has the gold standard. His integrity is absolutely unquestioned.
They stopped
very
listening to the ABA.
In
I
his
think
personal
during
conduct,
the
harbors
years,
no biases sure. or prejudices. He's entirely ethical, is a really decent person. He is warm, friendly, unassuming. He's the nicest person. The ABA. The one thing I can tell you should be proud of, Ashley, you should be proud of this, that you raised a daughter who had the good character to pray for Dr. Ford. To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat?
Is he getting more than 5 minutes?
I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade. And I wish you well. And I intend to vote for you, and I hope everybody who's fair-minded will.
Senator Whitehouse.
That was an effective grandstand. I got to hand
it
to
him. A very effective grandstand. But
it was better than having...
Let things settle a little bit after that.
You want to... we'll take a 60-second break.
No, I'm good.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm good.
It was sprung on him.
One of the reasons, Mr. Kavanaugh, that we are looking at the yearbook is that it is relatively consistent in time with the events at issue here. And because it appears to be your words, is it in fact your words on your yearbook page?
We submitted things to the editors, and I believe they took them. I don't know if they changed things or not, but...
You're not aware of any changes, as far as you know.
I'm not aware one way. I'm not aware one way or the other, but I'm not going to sit here and contest that. Have at it if you want to go through my yearbook.
Yeah, I'm actually interested. You know, lawyers should be working off of common terms and understand the words that we're using. I think that's a pretty basic principle among lawyers. Wouldn't you agree?
It is. If you're worried about my yearbook, have at it, Senator.
Let's look at Beach Week Ralph Club Biggest Contributor. What does the word Ralph mean in that?
That probably refers to throwing up. I'm known to have a weak stomach, and I always have. In fact, the last time I was here, you asked me about having ketchup on spaghetti. I always have had a weak stomach.
I don't know that I asked about ketchup on spaghetti, but...
You didn't. Someone did. Okay. And this is well known. Anyone who's known me, like a lot of these people behind me, have known me my whole life.
Ketchup on spaghetti. Throw up.
You know, I got a weak stomach, whether it's with beer or with spicy food or anything.
So the vomiting that you reference in spicy the Ralph food, Club yeah. reference related to
I remember the consumption when of alcohol. I put in my Sarah, yearbook, I was, diarrhea forever.
The top of my class academically.
Oh, geez.
Busted my butt in school. Captain of the varsity basketball team. Got into Yale College. When I got into Yale College, got into Yale Law School. Forked my tail off.
You can do that while drinking.
And did the word, Ralph, you used in your yearbook
relate to alcohol? I already answered the question. If you're,
did it relate to alcohol?
I like
you
beer.
You haven't answered that.
I like beer. I don't know if you do. Okay. Do you like beer, Senator, or not? What do you like to drink?
Next one is,
Senator, what do you
Judge,
like
Judge, have you, I don't know if it's boofed or boofed. How do you pronounce that?
That Judge? Refers to flatulence. We were 16.
Okay. And so when your friend Mark Judge said the same, put the same thing in his yearbook page back to you, he had the same meaning. It was flatulence.
I don't know what he did, but that's my recollection. We want to talk about flatulence at age 16 on a yearbook page.
Have
I'm
at
game.
It. Have at it.
You mentioned, I think, the Renate or Renate, Renata. I don't know how you pronounce that. That's a proper name of an individual you know?
Renata.
Renata. It's spelled with an E at the end, R-E-N-A-T-E. Is that
correct?
Okay. And then after that is the word alumnius. What does the word alumnius mean in that context?
I explained that in my opening statement.
Good friend.
She was a great friend of ours. A bunch of us went to dances with her. She hung out with us as a group.
Respect
the media circus that has been generated by this thought and reported that
why
it
wouldn't
to
you
sex.
Tell
it
your
not,
friend
never
of 40
had any,
years
she
we
herself
liked you
said
so
on the
much.
Record any kind of sexual interaction.
We liked you so much. We had
I'm
a club
sorry.
Called Alumnus.
How that's been misinterpreted and sorry about that, as I explained in my opening statement, because she's a good person, and to have her name dragged through this hearing is a joke.
He's really not upset about the other friend?
Devil's Triangle?
Drinking game.
How's it played?
Three glasses in a triangle.
And?
You ever played quarters?
No.
Okay, it's a quarters game.
Anne Doherty's.
As you can tell from my calendar, right. She had a party on the 4th of July in the beach in Delaware.
And there are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 F's in front of the 4th of July. What does that signify, if anything?
One of our friends, Squee, when he said the F word, starting at a young age, had kind of a wind up to the F word. Kind of a and then the word would come out. And when we were 15, we thought that was funny. And it became an inside joke for the how he would say, and I won't repeat it here.
Search for F
for the F word.
Referring to Georgetown versus Louisville and...
Do you want any more on the Fs?
No, Orioles versus Red Sox. In both, you respond, who won anyway or who won that game anyway? Should we draw any conclusion that a loss of recollection associated with alcohol was involved in you not knowing who won the games that you attended?
No. First of all, the Georgetown-Louisville was watching it on TV, a party, and the...
That's
the,
not inconsistent with drinking and not and, remembering what happened.
I'm aware. And the point of both was we, in essence, were having a party and didn't pay attention to the game, even though the game was the excuse we had for getting together. I think that's a... Yeah. Very common. I don't know if you've been to a Super Bowl party, for example, Senator, and not paid attention to the game and just hung out with your friends. I don't know if you've done that or not, but that's what we were referring to in those two occasions.
Senator Cornyn. Judge, I can't think of a more embarrassing.
Yeah, what happened to...
scandal for the United States Senate since the McCarthy...
What happened
hearing.
To Mitchell?
Is it... He just compared this to McCarthy.
When the comment was about the cruelty... of the process toward the people involved. And the question was asked, have you no sense of decency? And I'm afraid we've lost that, at least for
right.
the time being. Do you understand you've been accused of multiple crimes?
I'm painfully aware for my family and me to read about this.
And
if only
the,
I could
reporting.
Get somebody
course,
to investigate
the,
this and
the sexual
clear my
assault.
Name.
That Dr. Ford claims that you
denied than the claims of Ms. Ramirez, yeah, that not even the New York Times would report because they couldn't corroborate it. And then Stormy Daniels' lawyer released a bombshell accusing you of gang rape.
What's that story about?
All of those are crimes, are they not?
They are, and I'm never going to get my reputation back. My life is totally and permanently altered.
Well, Judge, don't
that
give
movie,
up.
I'm not giving up.
The American people are listening to this.
One-armed
and they
man
will make
killed
their
his
decision,
wife.
And
a
I
doctor,
think you'll
I
come out on
that.
The right
fugitive
side of
this. Well, I will always be a good person and try to be a good judge, whatever happens. But
so this is not a job interview. You've been accused of a crime. If you have lied to the committee and the investigators, that is a crime in and of itself, correct?
That is correct.
So in order to vote against your nomination, we would have to conclude that you are a serial liar. Yeah. And you have exposed yourself to legal jeopardy in the way in your interaction with this committee
beer
and the investigators.
I love it.
Isn't that correct?
That's my understanding.
You talked in your interview on with Martha McCollum the other night about a fair process. Some of my colleagues across the aisle say, well, the burden is not on the accuser because this is a job interview. The burden is on you. But you said you weren't there and it didn't happen. It's impossible for you to prove a negative. So I would just suggest that you have been accused of a crime and that a fair process under the United States Constitution and our notion of fair play means that the people who make an accusation against you have to come forward with some evidence. Isn't that part of a fair process?
Yes, sir, Senator.
And part of that means that if you're going to make an allegation, there needs to be corroboration. In other words, you're not guilty because somebody makes an accusation against you in this country. We're not a police state. We don't give the government that kind of power. We insist that those charges be proven by competent evidence. And I know we're not in a court. I've told my colleagues if we were in court, half of them would be in contempt of court. But you have been accused of a crime, and I believe fundamental notions of fair play and justice in our constitutional system require that if somebody's going to make that accusation against you,
they better call for an investigation
with some corroboration, not just allegations.
How about bringing
and you're
in
right
some witnesses?
To be angry
not just allegations and FBI
about
requests.
The delays right in your ability to come here and protect your good name. Because in the interim, it just keeps getting worse. It's not Dr. Ford. It's this story that not even the New York Times would report, the allegation of Ms. Ramirez. And then Stormy Daniels' lawyer comes up with this incredible story accusing you of the most sordid and salacious conduct. It's outrageous, and you're right to be angry. But this is your chance to tell your story, and I hope you have a chance to tell us everything you want to tell us. But the burden is not on you.
He just took the 5 minutes worth of questioning.
The allegations made. The burden under our system, when you accuse somebody of criminal conduct, is on the person making the accusation. Now, I understand this isn't a trial, like I said, but I just wanted to make sure that we understood. It's hard to reconstruct what happened 36 years ago, and I appreciate what you said about Dr. Ford, that perhaps she has had an incident at some point in her life, and you are sympathetic to that. But your reputation is on the line. And I hope people understand the gravity of the charges made against you and what a fair process looks like.
Senator Klobuchar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge, we're talking here about decency, and you understand we have this constitutional duty to advise and consent. And for me, when this
Cornyn
evidence
just spent the entire
came forward,
5 minutes not letting him
I decided that I needed to look at this, and I needed to find out about it, and I needed to ask you questions about it, as well as others that were involved. So, again, I'm not going to take quite the same approach as my colleagues here and talk about Don McGahn or any of this. Why don't you just ask the president? Mrs. Dr. Ford can't do this. We clearly haven't been able to do this. But just ask the president to reopen the FBI investigation.
I think the committee is doing, you're doing the investigation. I'm here to answer your questions.
Wow.
And I should say one thing, Senator Klobuchar, which is I appreciate our meeting together, and I appreciate how you handled the prior hearing, and I have a lot of respect for you.
Well, thank you. All of that aside, here's the thing. You could actually just get this open so that we can talk to these witnesses, and the FBI can do it instead of us. And you've come before us, but we have people like Mark Judge, who Dr. Ford says was a witness to this. We have this polygraph expert that my colleagues were raising issues about the polygraph. We would like to have that person come before us. And I just think if we could open this up.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I guess I am. But Mark Judge has provided sworn statements saying this didn't happen and that I never did or would do.
But we would like the FBI to be able to follow up and ask him
all three
questions.
Accusers
you know,
have also provided sworn statements.
Past nomination processes, and you talked about those. And I note that President George Bush in the Anita Hill Justice Thomas case, he opened up the FBI investigation and let questions being asked. And I think it was helpful for people. So was his decision reasonable?
I don't know the circumstances of that. What I know, Senators,
the circumstances are that he opened up the investigation so the FBI could ask some questions. He opened up the background check.
I'm here to answer questions about my yearbook or about, you know,
beer.
I'm not going to ask about the yearbook.
Varsity track.
So most people have done some drinking in high school and college. And many people even struggle with alcoholism and binge drinking. My own dad struggled with alcoholism most of his life, and he got in trouble for it, and there were consequences. He is still in AA at age 90, and he's sober. And in his words, he was pursued by grace, and that's how he got through this. So in your case, you have said here and other places that you never drank so much that you didn't remember what happened. But yet we have heard, not under oath, but we have heard your college roommate say that you did drink frequently. These are in news reports, that you would sometimes be belligerent. Another classmate said it's not credible for you to say you didn't have memory lapses. So drinking is one thing.
I actually don't think that's the second quote's correct. On the first quote, if you wanted, I provided some material that's still redacted about the situation with the freshman year roommate, and I don't really want to repeat that in a public hearing, but just so you know,
page 13.
There were three people in a room, Dave White, Jamie Roach, and me, and it was a contentious situation where Jamie did not like Dave White. I was at all. And I mean, this.
Okay.
So Dave White came back from home one weekend, and Jamie Roach had moved all his furniture out into the courtyard.
He's maligning his college roommate.
His college roommate has a vendetta against him.
So drinking is one thing.
And there's much more. Look at the redacted portion of what I said. I don't want to repeat that in a public hearing.
I will. Could I just ask one more question?
Redacted information about that.
Okay. Drinking is one thing, but the concern is about truthfulness. And in your written testimony, you said sometimes you had too many drinks. Was there ever a time when you drank so much that you couldn't remember what happened or part of what happened the night before?
I remember what happened, and I think you've probably had beers, Senator, and so
you're saying there's never been a case where you drank so much that you didn't remember what happened the night before or part of what happened?
That's, you're asking about, blackout. I don't know. Have you?
I don't know. Have you?
What is
Could
this?
You answer
have
the question,
shit?
Judge? That's not happened. Is that your answer?
Yeah, and I'm curious if you have.
I have no drinking problem, Judge.
Yeah, nor do I.
Okay, thank you.
What does he think he's accomplishing?
Mr. Hatch,
what the fuck is the matter with this?
He just got a note. Don't be such a dick.
Yeah.
Let's get back to basics.
Flash of white power.
First of all, anybody, including any senator that's brought up this issue, could ask for an FBI investigation. What the FBI does is gather information for the White House, then the files sent to the committee for us to make our own evaluations. We're capable of making our own determination about the accuracy of any of those allegations. The FBI has put out a statement over, now I suppose it's a month ago, clearly stating this matter is closed as far as the letter being sent to them, and there is no federal crime to investigate. Senate Democrats hope for the FBI to draw any conclusions on this matter, I'm going to remind you what Joe Biden said. Now, I said this in my statement, but maybe people aren't listening when I say it. Maybe they won't even hear this.
What?
Joe Biden, quote, "The next person who refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything. The FBI explicitly does not in this or any other case reach a conclusion, period. They say, he said, she said, they said, period. So when people wave an FBI report before you or even bring it up now as something prospectively, I'm not, that wasn't in his quote, understand they do not. They do not reach conclusions. They do not make recommendations." Senator Hatch.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Let me do this.
May I say for the record that actually we have asked, you said that nobody's asked the FBI or we could ask the FBI. I actually have. I think others have. And I think that the issue is that part of what an FBI report does is to investigate and seek either corroborating or exculpatory evidence. It's not so much the conclusion that it draws as the breadth of the evidence that is sought out through the investigation and the difference between what somebody might say to an FBI agent when they're being examined and, for instance, Mr. Judge's letter signed by his lawyer sent in. It's just a different thing.
Schoolhouse Rock.
I believe still that this is the first background investigation in the history of background investigations.
Judge's letter is signed by his lawyer?
That hasn't been reopened when new credible derogatory information was raised about the subject, about the nominee. So, I just didn't want to let the point you made stand without referencing what we had tried to do.
Pardon me, but I'll just add to the point you made. The letter was sent to the FBI. The FBI sent it to the White House with a letter saying the case is closed. We're taking a break now, Senator. We're taking a break now. 15-minute break.
There we are. How many more do we have? I think probably like three, right? We have yet to hear from Kamala Harris. We have yet to hear from Cory Booker. Is there any more Democrats that... Coons and Blumenthal. Is that Joni Ernst in the back? Is that no? Is it? I think we now have a clear sense of what the strategy is here. Lindsey Graham was effectively killed 5 minutes. John Cornyn effectively killed 5 minutes. They have apparently jettisoned the assistant female, right? The female assistant. They've decided that's not going to happen. We're not going to have the prosecutor. We're not going to bring out the prosecutor for the guy because it's been too emotionally draining for Judge Kavanaugh.
To what extent can she just totally
frankly,
not do her
I
job?
Think they should just keep saying, like, why will you not say investigate the FBI? And phrase that in a myriad of different ways, like Durbin did that stumped him. Because he clearly practiced that question. And he had the answer from a couple of different ways. But asking questions like, do you think people looking at this, most people would want the FBI to investigate in this situation? Do you think most people looking at this would say, no, I don't want an FBI investigation? I mean, there's... I think, we'll see someone like Kamala Harris, I think, is probably going to be the most likely candidate to ask him those questions that sort of paint him in that box. I mean, because that's when he seems just absolutely the most lacking in veracity.
Durbin, I thought that was if there's still obviously the possibility that they just they'll just still actually push this through. But if there was any type of stick a fork in it moment, I think it's the Durbin exchange. Yep.
When he was just silent, like, why don't you?
I'm going to run to the bathroom for 1 second.
Use that level of
like I put in my yearbook, diarrhea.
Yeah, I mean, it's just no, but it's just the indignation and then being all like just playing all sorts of games about the obvious thing that you could do. And
but
that's where it really just sustains the obviousness of the lies.
Speaking of the yearbook, I think there were three lies that Kavanaugh prepared to explain his yearbook. Dissident Peasant helps us out with this at Jeff His Dudeness. One, boofing isn't farting, it's butt chugging alcohol. I've also heard putting drugs up there.
Right.
Devil's Triangle isn't a drinking game, it's a male-female threesome, which I'd also heard.
Yeah.
And Jeff doesn't mention this one, but the 4th of July. Now, there was a song that came out in 1984, and I'd never heard of this before, if it was like a subcultural thing, but saying that there's something called the 4F Club, and let's see if I can find it here. Basically, like, it has different sort of what the F's mean, mm-hmm. but some of it's the mentor song is find 'em, feel 'em, fuck 'em, forget 'em, and there's other like feed 'em was one I saw, and finger 'em. So it gets really right. sort of that.
So
sort
it
of
wasn't.
Thing.
It wasn't. Oh no, it was a preamble to saying the F word.
I really doubt it's Squee saying fa.
I doubt it's Squee doing that too.
So, I mean, it's just amazing how he's just decided to dig in on these, what I think are lies.
I mean,
even on small stuff.
You come in thinking, if you're like me, 99% he's a liar. It goes to like as humanly possible you could have certitude about something that you haven't seen. Yeah.
Sam likes beer.
Sam likes
still
beer.
Likes beer.
Hey, I like beer. I like beer. Do you like beer?
No, but do you? I want to know.
No, I want to know if you like beer.
Have you lost consciousness drinking? Have you ever had beer? Have you got blacked out?
I am going to have.
Have you ever drank beer and have a good time? No. I want to know. Whoever briefed him is like, and you know what?
That's what happens.
Ask them the question right. Ask them the question right back to them. That's what you should do. Get all whiny, weird, and indignant.
Right.
Never say you want an FBI investigation and then do,
I'm all
I know
in.
You are, but what am I? The old Yale Law School technique.
I want whatever, but whatever they want. Yeah. The guys
I want
protect-
anything to clear my name as long as they're all right with
as
it.
As long as they're cool with it. By the way, have you ever had a beer, Senator? I like beer. Beer's awesome. Did I drink too much at times?
Red
but beer's also great.
Red flaggy. I'm hoping Kavanaugh just walks away. Liberals don't understand that the deep state is falling and that the pedophile sex traffickers like Jeffrey Epstein are being stopped by President Trump. Hoping to see a headline in a few hours that Kavanaugh was a no-show and has stepped down from consideration. That was obviously an earlier IM. Winky Danu. To answer Hannah Knight's question, he can go to Fox News as a correspondent. What do you do when your name has been so besmirched? Crybaby Kavanaugh, I'm not coming back until I'm not coming back after the break. Let's see. Peace for me. Yay to my senator, Dick Durbin. Durbin did a great job. Commie Libtard. Kavanaugh cries with tongue weirdly pushed against the inside of his cheek. Let's see. Thames Darwin. Sam, I'm still waiting for the I'm rubber, you're glue defense from El Barto. Freedom Poutine, the most damning thing about Kavanaugh is he's closest he's come to admitting he's wrong is saying everyone else drank beer too. That was I still also think the Renate thing is also very important because he gave a different answer than his lawyer did. And it is very strange, the idea that this was an homage to a good friend that never came up after 30 years.
We did the silent homage for you.
We the guys in the football team liked you so much, and we hid it from you because we were waiting till your 60th birthday. We were waiting to your 60th birthday till we were going to tell you about how we all got together and wrote about you in our
little
yearbooks.
Easter egg in the yearbook for you.
We just thought, like, this will be great. She'll be 60. She'll have gone through her midlife crisis. She'll think there's nothing ahead. And then we'll go, bam-o, we loved you so much in high school.
Well, she was one that signed that. She was one of the 65, right?
Yeah.
And it sounds to me, and this is just a complete speculation, but it sounds to me like he actually contacted her and apologized, but said, hey, we're going to go with this public story about what this means. Don't contradict that.
I get the sense, actually, no. That my sense is that she was not aware. Well, first of all, she said she was not aware of it.
No, I mean subsequent to that.
I think subsequent to that, she did not want to really have it discussed publicly because it is quite possible that even if Kavanaugh did not have any type of physical relationship with her, that she had physical relationship with other guys on the football team. And it's not something that she wants to talk about with her kids or her family or whatnot. You just don't know. I mean, people don't want to get involved. I mean, you know, for a lot of these people, they don't care enough about his future on or off the Supreme Court to basically invite this massive disruption of their lives and this massive displacement, you know, where they're in the community, right, with their friends and whatnot. And so that's what we're witnessing, I think. We're witnessing a certain class of people basically not necessarily circling the wagons to protect him, but circling the wagons to protect themselves. And on some level, it's understandable. Again, my best guess is that this guy was around a lot of this stuff, that he did assault Ford in this way, that he had a drinking problem at that time and also a problem like feeling like he was fitting in. There was a movie that Errol Morris, I think, did. Was it Dr. Death?
Yes.
And it was about a guy who worked with states. I think this is, if my memory serves.
The Holocaust denial one?
Yes, he worked with states on providing gas for executions.
Fred and, A. Luchter?
Yes. And he made a comment at one point that was picked up by Holocaust deniers that implied that there's no way they could have had these gas chambers in Germany. And he became a hero, and he was so desperate to have like a, you know, any type of status and a position, you know, and friends and some type of thing, that he just went along with it, even though like he sort of said like, well, they misinterpreted what I said. And you get the sense that Kavanaugh is that type of figure as a young guy. And there's nothing in his adult life that really doesn't sort of like contradict that. Maybe later, you know, he becomes a judge and he finally feels like he's his own man, but he's still that guy. That's what's going on. That's my guess. I mean, I don't know. This is a complete shot in the dark. Calling from a 360 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? Oh, wait. I don't know if we have sound. Let's see. 360?
Sam?
Yes. Who's this?
Sam.
Yes.
Hey, Logan from Washington State. Hey, real quick, because I want to actually get back to
from Washington
watching,
State.
If they come back.
Yeah.
Ogre. O-G-R-E.
Okay. Ogre. Washington State.
Sorry. Just picking a name. So anyway, background investigations, they don't work that way. The whole notion like, oh, I've already been looked into and everything's fine. Generally, it's like a very flat, kind of shallow thing. They don't start off asking stuff like, hey, have you ever been involved in gang rapes and bullshit like that? So the fact that he keeps going back to that and basically saying like, oh, well, I was already looked into in the past, that comes across really disingenuous if you know anything about how that process works.
Let's be clear. The FBI, in the time from when Ford made her basically her accusations public, a week and a half ago now, right? Between those 10 days, the FBI could have interviewed every single person who has come up in this conversation multiple times. Multiple times the FBI could have done
this. Yeah, I agree.
They could have gotten all the records from the safe, but they could have done all of it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The other thing I wanted to point out, and if you watch Ford's testimony this morning and then the way that he's getting away with filibustering so damn bad now, any time that she even tried to search her memory for something, because you could tell it was coming across very genuinely that she was trying to be accurate, that she didn't want to say something or misspeak because she cares about the process. That's the feeling I got. Grassley's ass would immediately, stop the clock, right. All that bullshit. Meanwhile, this dude's been carrying on about beer and hops and all this other garbage. Like, oh, it's so frustrating to watch this shit. I feel like I'm channeling Judy Gold and I want to start just fucking cursing.
Well, I understand the feeling. I appreciate the call, Ogre. Let's go to 266. 266. Hello. 266.
They come here to say that asking me, how come they didn't call us? Why they didn't have the call?
Yeah, call us.
So you're the messenger.
Call us.
What's that?
Wow.
All right. Twice. Wow. All right. Let's go to I don't know what this is. 491. I've never seen a number this long ever. 4915. Who's this? Come from a 49 area code? 491?
516 probably.
516? That was strange.
David Enrich, a finance editor at New York Times, tweets out, based on extensive interviews by me and Kate Kelly with Kavanaugh's former Georgetown prep classmates, what he just said about the meanings of boofed and devil's triangle is not true.
Really?
Yeah, and when you were away, I said boofed means taking either alcohol or drugs anally, and devil's triangle is a male-male-female threesome.
Wow.
So he was cleaning up those yearbook
things. He was well practiced on that, yeah. Right? I mean, that was obvious. They were going to ask that question. What do these things mean? And he came up with alternate versions.
That's when
of them.
Squirt farted.
But apparently,
have you ever farted, Senator? Yeah.
Apparently, the fourth is what classmates are saying about that one. So
that one's okay. Apparently. So one of four.
Calling from a 516 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, is this me?
Yes, it is you. Who is you?
Hi, my name is Eric. I'm calling in because...
Eric, where are you calling from?
Eric from Long Island.
All right, Eric from Long Island. Got to be quick. What's going on? Quick, because they're going to sit down
again. All right, I'll be quick. Yeah, I just wanted to say something real quick about... I know you guys have been getting a lot about this, but I wanted to say, fuck Jimmy Dore.
Eric, listen. I appreciate the sentiment.
Synthetic. They're on the hunt.
You know I appreciate the sentiment. But I want to just stay on topic. But thank you, Eric. I mean, I get that this is arguably on topic because, but, you know, let's just I want to stay narrowly focused. Call him from a 504 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? Tell me something I don't know about this hearing.
Hey, this is Tony. I think that your approach earlier where you say, well, they should just constantly focus on the same thing, I think that's wrong. I think the approach that they should take is catch him on these lies, because they're provable lies that he did in the previous hearings. And once you establish that, hey, you lied here, okay,
right.
Now you're saying we should take you at your word, and your word should be your bond, No, your word is not your bond when you're a proven liar under oath, mind you. And yes, that is perjury. Yeah, you are perjured. You already perjured yourself. So start there and then go into the other stuff, the other allegations, where he's at right now. That's what they should do. And yes, he looks ridiculous. He looks ridiculous.
All right, appreciate the call. I'm going to take your point. I want to take one more call. Calling from a 561 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Mark. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Mark, where are you calling from?
From beautiful Delray Beach. So yeah. I just had a quick take I wanted to give you guys on Kavanaugh.
Go.
There's a lot that I would disagree with you about what you would normally say, but there's a whole aspect of society that also doesn't like Kavanaugh. I happen to be conservative, but I think you should treat women with respect, which obviously he does not do. He might go to church every Sunday, but he seems pretty judgmental and blackout drunk. He doesn't really have a good answer for that. Maybe he shouldn't be drinking so much.
All right.
So I think there's a lot of actual conservative people that are going to dislike him and definitely dislike Trump.
All right. Well, Mark from Delray, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. We shall see about that. I mean, I wish I had more time to talk to you about that because I'm a little skeptical, but they're starting up again. Here is Kavanaugh.
Senator, I had a beer.
Just had a couple of brews.
His tie's still undone.
Secret notes from Mark Judge. I wonder what Mark Judge is doing right now.
Working on his YouTube channel.
Right.
His comeback.
Reading comic books.
Judge, are you ready?
I am ready. And can I say one thing?
Yes.
I'm just going to say, I started my last colloquy by saying to Senator Klobuchar how much I respect her. And respected what she did at the last hearing, and she asked me a question at the end that I responded by asking her a question, and I didn't. Sorry, I did that. This is tough.
Right.
Process.
He got that yellow sheet that said you're being a dick.
I would like to add, when you have a parent that's an alcoholic, you're pretty careful about drinking. And the second thing is, I was truly just trying to get to the bottom of the facts and the evidence, and I again believe we do that by opening up the FBI investigation, and I would call it a background check instead of investigation.
That's right. Do you like FBI investigations?
Well, thank you, Judge. Welcome. We're
do
happy
you like
to
FBI
you
investigations?
My friend from
where the heck is
words, my friend from Arizona emphasized.
Where's poor Rachel Mitchell?
Before us today, two human beings, Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. They deserve, each of you deserves to be treated fairly and respectfully. We tried to do that with Dr. Ford earlier, and I think we succeeded. It's important that we treat Judge Kavanaugh fairly now, and it remains to be seen how that's going to work out. Judge,
in other words, Kamala Harris may ask some hard questions.
Years, and he's been a great federal judge on the second highest court in the nation. He's earned a reputation for fairness and decency.
I'm going to talk for 5 minutes.
His clerks love him. His students, he teaches in
all they do.
Law school as well. His students
so they're just running out the clock.
His colleagues love him. This man
Kate,
is not
there's
a monster,
more, Lindsey Graham,
nor is he what has been represented here in these hearings.
Matt, can
we're
we
talking
hit
today
the D
about
button
Judge Kavanaugh's conduct
right, exactly.
in high school? And even then, and as a freshman in college, I guess, as well. Serious allegations have been raised. If Judge Kavanaugh committed sexual assault, he should not serve on the Supreme Court. I think we'd all agree with that. But the circus atmosphere that has been created since my Democratic colleagues first leaked Dr. Ford's allegations to the media 2 weeks ago, after sitting on them for 6 weeks, I might add, has brought us the worst in our politics. It certainly has brought us no closer to the truth. Anonymous letters with no name and no return address are now being treated as national news.
That's because you reported it.
Lawyers,
dude, it came from a Republican senator.
Plausible claims are driving the news cycle. I hate to say this, but this is worse than Robert Bork, and I didn't think it could get any worse than that. This is worse than Clarence Thomas. I didn't think it could get any worse than that.
Put that to rest. He can be Kavanaugh.
This is a national disgrace, the way you're being treated. And in the middle of it all, we have Judge Kavanaugh, a man who, until 2 weeks ago, was a pillar of the legal community. There's been no whisper of misconduct by him in the time he's been a judge. What we have are uncorroborated, unsubstantiated claims from his teenage years. Claims that every alleged eyewitness has either denied or failed to corroborate. I do not mean to minimize the seriousness of the claims.
I'm doing that, they've been serious, I don't mean
claims,
to.
But the search for truth has to involve more than bare assertions. Like Dr. Ford, Judge Kavanaugh deserves fair treatment. He was an immature high schooler.
What?
So were we all. That he wrote or said stupid things sometimes does not make him a sexual predator. I understand the desire of my colleagues to tear down this man at any cost. I do understand it. But let's at least be fair and look at the facts or the absence thereof. Guilt by association is wrong. Immaturity does not equal criminality. That Judge Kavanaugh drank in high school or college does not make him guilty of every terrible thing that he's recently been accused of. A lifetime of respect and equal treatment ought to mean something when assessing allegations that are flatly inconsistent with the course of a person's entire adult life. With those comments, Judge, I'd just like to ask you a few questions, if I can, about how, and if you can be short in your answers, it'd help me get through a bunch of them, about how this process has unfolded. When did you first learn of Dr. Ford's allegations against you?
It was a week ago Sunday, one Washington Post story.
Isn't that amazing? Did the ranking member raise these allegations in your one-on-one meeting with her last month?
She did not.
Did the ranking member raise them at your public hearing earlier this month?
No.
Did the ranking member raise them at the closed session that followed the public hearing?
She was not there.
Did the ranking member or any of her colleagues raise them in the 1,300 written questions that were submitted to you following the hearing?
No.
When was the first time that the ranking member or her staff asked you about these allegations?
Today.
When did you first hear of Ms. Ramirez's allegations against you?
In the period since then, in the New Yorker story.
Did the ranking member or any of her colleagues or any of their staffs ask you about Ms. Ramirez's allegations before they were leaked to the press?
No.
When was the first time that the ranking member or any of her colleagues or any of their staff asked you about Ms. Ramirez's allegations?
Today.
I think it's a disgrace between...
Senator Coons.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Kavanaugh, today's hearing is about Dr. Ford's serious allegations about sexual assault. You have unequivocally denied those claims. But we're here today to assess her credibility and yours. And in our previous vigorous exchanges in the previous confirmation hearing rounds, I found that your answers, at times vigorously defended, but at other times struck me as evasive or not credible on key issues. And it's against that backdrop that I'm seeking to assess your credibility today. You said in your opening that rule of law means taking allegations seriously, and I agree with that. It brings me no joy to question you on these topics today, but I do think they're serious, and I think they are worthy of our attention. So let me, if I can, return to a line of questioning my colleague was on before, which was about whether you've ever gotten aggressive while drinking or forgotten an evening after drinking.
Those are two different questions. I've already answered the second one as the first. I think the answer to that is basically no. I don't know really what you mean by that. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, the reason
I don't mean it that way, but no is the basic answer, unless you're talking about something where that I'm not aware of that you're going to ask about.
The reason I'm asking, we've had a very brief period of time to weigh outside evidence, and I'll join my colleagues in saying, I wish we had more evidence in front of us today to weigh. Do you remember Liz Swisher, a college classmate of yours from Yale?
First, on your point about the outside evidence, all four witnesses.
Well, let me focus. I'm trying to get this question.
I know, but you made a point, and I just want to reemphasize. All four witnesses who are allegedly at the event have said it didn't happen, including Dr. Ford's longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser,
right.
Who said
and if
she's
Mark
never...
Judge, if Mark Judge were in front of us today to question, we'd be able to assess his credibility.
But
let me just get through this through if I can, Your Honor.
Liz
Swisher is a college classmate. She's now a medical doctor. And I'm quoting from a recent interview she gave. She said Brett Kavanaugh drank more than a lot of people. He'd end up slurring his words, stumbling. It's not credible for him to say he's had no memory lapses in the nights he drank to excess. I know because I drank with him. How should we assess that?
She then goes on, if you kept reading,
oh, so I guess he does know.
Can't point to any specific instance like that.
The quote that jumped out at me was, Brett was a sloppy drunk, and I know because I drank with him. There's also,
I don't think that, I do not think that's a fair characterization. And Chris Dudley's quoted in that article. And I would refer you to what Chris Dudley said. I spent more time with Chris Dudley in college than just about anyone. And I'd refer you to what he said.
And he'd never say anything about
it. In other reporting, as I'm sure you know, a college classmate described you as relatively shy, but said that when you drank, you could be aggressive or even belligerent. And your roommate, as I think you discussed with Senator Klobuchar, said you were frequently drunk.
Yeah, and that roommate, that was freshman year roommate.
Yes.
And there was contention between him and the third person. There were three of us in a small room. And you should look at what I said in
college
the redacted
cabal.
Portion of the transcript about
cabal.
Him.
Trying
and you
to...
should assess his credibility with that in mind.
Put yourself in our shoes for a moment, if you would, Judge. And I know that's asking a lot of you in this setting. But suppose you'd gone through a process to select someone for an incredibly important job in a position. You had a lot of qualified candidates. And as you're finishing the hiring process, you learn of a credible allegation that, if true, would be disqualifying. Wouldn't you either take a step back and conduct a thorough investigation or move to a different candidate? And why not agree to a one-week pause to allow the FBI to investigate all these allegations and allow you an opportunity a week from now to have the folks present in front of us for us to assess their credibility and for us to either clear your name or resolve these allegations by moving to a different nominee?
All four witnesses who are alleged to be at the event said it didn't happen, including Dr. Ford's longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser, who said that she didn't know me and that she does not recall ever being at a party with me, with or without Dr. Ford.
What I've struggled with, Judge Kavanaugh, is the absence of a fair federal law enforcement-driven, nonpartisan process to question the various people who I think are critical to this. My concern, should you move forward, is what it will do to the credibility of the court and how that may well hang over your service. I understand your concern about this.
Senator, my reputation
has been... I wish you would join us in calling for an FBI investigation for 1 week clear or confirm some of these allegations.
When you say a week delay, do you know how long the last 10 days have been for
they
us?
Were probably an eternity. But in the Judge Thomas confirmation
For us,
hearing,
every day.
It was a four-day delay.
Every day. It's been a lifetime.
How long do justices serve?
They serve a literal lifetime, asshole.
And it's been investigated. And all four witnesses say it didn't happen. And they've said it under penalty of felony. And I've produced my calendars, which show...
accusations were made under penalty of
that's important evidence. And you act like, I mean, the last 10 days, I asked for a hearing the day after the allegation.
Is that right?
Hearing versus investigation.
Before I call on Senator Lee, I want to emphasize something here that talking about doing something without enough time. We had 45 days between July 30th and September the 13th, I believe it is, when we could have been investigating this. And in regard to this candidate, if you take the average of 65 to 70 days between the time that a person is announced by the president and the Senate votes on it,
is
about 65 to 70 days. And here we are at about 85 to 90 days.
You got to be close.
So there's plenty of time put in on this nomination, Jesus. Senator Lee. Oh, no, wait a minute. I got one other thing I want to do. Everybody else has been putting letters in the record. I have a letter here from 65 women who knew Judge Kavanaugh between the years 79 and 83, the years he attended Georgetown Prep High School. These women wrote to the committee because they know Judge Kavanaugh, and they know that the allegations raised by Dr. Ford are completely, totally inconsistent with his character. These 65 women know him through social events and church. Many have remained close friends with him. Here's what they say, partly quoting the letter. Quote, through the more than 35 years we've known him, Brett has stood out for his friendship, character, and integrity. He has always treated women with decency and respect. That was true in high school.
He even did secret homages to us that we never knew about.
They wrote, Judge Kavanaugh, quote, has always been a good person. So without objection, I put it in the record, Senator Lee.
Judge Kavanaugh, you've been cooperative at every stage of this investigation, both your background investigation and the investigation conducted by this committee. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
It's also correct that you yourself do not control the FBI or when it conducts an investigation. You were a nominee. You're not tasked with the job of deciding who, when, whether,
You're
or how conducts an investigation.
You're also not capable of having an opinion on that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But at every moment when either we or prior to the committee taking jurisdiction over it, the FBI has asked you questions, you've been attentive and you've been responsive. Isn't that right?
That's correct. Throughout my career.
I have colleagues today who have repeatedly asked for an FBI investigation. And there are some ironies in this. Ironies that ascend at least two levels. In the first place, at least one of my colleagues, at least one of them, had access to this information many, many weeks before anyone else did, had the ability, and I believe the moral duty and obligation, to report those facts to the FBI, at which point they could have and would have been investigated by the FBI. And that could have been handled in such a way that didn't turn this into a circus, one that has turned your life upside down and that of your family, and the life of Dr. Ford and her family upside down. I consider this most unfortunate, given that this was entirely within the control of at least one of my Democratic colleagues to do this. The second level of irony here is that while calling repeatedly for an investigation by the FBI, an investigation over which you have no ability to control, by the way, an investigation you have no authority to call for, while calling for an investigation, we're in the middle of a conversation that involves questions to you. And so I ask my Democratic colleagues, if you have questions for Judge Kavanaugh, ask him. He's right here. If that's really what you want is the truth, ask him questions right now. If you have questions of other witnesses,
Mark Judge,
then for the love of all that is sacred and holy, participate in the committee investigations that have been going on,
ask him if he
likes as you
beer.
Have not been participating, with the committee staff investigating the outside witnesses. If someone really were interested in the truth, this is what they would do. They would participate in the investigation, and when we have a committee investigation, a committee hearing with live witnesses, they would talk about that rather than something else they wish they were having in front of them. What? If what they want
That's
is a
facts.
Search for the truth, then now is their choice. If, on the other hand, what they want to do is delay this until after the election, which at least one of my colleagues on the Democratic side has acknowledged, then that might be what they would do. Finally, I want to point out that there is significant precedent from our former chairman of this committee, Chairman Joe Biden. During the Clarence Thomas hearings nearly three decades ago, Chairman Biden made some interesting observations about FBI reports and their role in this process. Here's what he said, quote, the next person who refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything.
You can't
the
come
FBI
up with your own
explicitly
stuff to
does
filibuster
not,
with after five,
in this
after 5 minutes?
Or any other case, reach a conclusion, period, period. Those are his dual periods, not mine. I continue the quote. The reason why we cannot rely on the FBI report, you would not like it if we did, because it is inconclusive. So when
it's
people wave an FBI report
idiot.
Before you, understand they do not. They
just
do not.
Call for
they
the
do not
abolishment
reach
of the FBI at this point.
They do not
sounds
make,
like they don't do anything. It's just
my
like
friend
a conjecture
points out
society.
More accurately, they do not make recommendations. In other words, the role of the FBI is to flag issues. those issues have been flagged. Clearly. Sadly, in this case,
Your Honor,
they were flagged not as they should
the
have
FBI
been.
Arrested
not in the
me?
Timing in which they should
I
have been.
I just want to say,
and therefore they
don't
couldn't have been addressed in the manner that would have
preserved. They flagged the RICO charges.
For you, for
it doesn't mean they're fucking true.
They were instead held out.
They flagged the issues
moment.
At the bottom big. They don't reach conclusions.
Most unfortunate. And for that, on behalf of this committee, I extend to you my most profound sympathies. Mm. And my most profound sympathies to Dr. Ford and her family
Did
as well.
Did he almost say sympathy?
Mr. Chairman, since we don't have enough slots for everyone, can I have the last minute of Senator Lee so that Senator Kennedy can be recognized? Judge, we did 38 hours in public with you. Did we have any private hearings with you?
Yes.
Was that a fun time for you? When senators could ask questions that are awkward or uncomfortable about potential alcoholism, potential gambling addiction, credit card debt, if your buddies floated you money to buy baseball tickets.
I'd like
did you
to hear
enjoy
that
time
stuff.
We spent in here late one
I'd
night?
I'd like to hear about that.
I'm always happy to cooperate with the committee.
That's charitable. Were you ever asked about any sexual allegations when we had that time in here with you alone?
Why can't we hear about the gambling and the...
Did the ranking member already have these allegations for, I guess this would have been September 6 or 7, and the letter was written on July 30th? A recommendation was made by the ranking member or her staff to Dr. Ford. And by the way,
now,
I think Dr. Ford
all have to
is
feel
a
like
victim.
They have to get, they
and
have
I think
to
she's been through
they
hell.
They got to top Lindsay
I'm
now.
Very right. sympathetic to her.
Watch and learn.
Did the ranking member staff, did we hear today, make a recommendation to hire a lawyer and she knew all of that?
Say hello
and
to Puerto Rican. Yeah, I voted
you,
for her.
And
That's
none
right.
of these things were asked. But then once the process was closed, once the FBI investigation was closed, once we were done meeting in public and in private, then this was sprung.
What is Feinstein saying about this, by
the
way?
What's
her line?
Right?
She was trying to keep it quiet.
From all the time that this evidence
Somebody
was
leaked
in
it.
The hands, recommendations were made to an outside lawyer. You could have handled all this. We could have had this conversation in private in a way that didn't not only do crap to his family, but do all... I yield my time.
Now, we all know who the haters are.
To see if he could do math about 35 days. That was a little bit of a question.
Thank you.
Push my microphone away and finish my
performance.
Good afternoon,
Judge Kavanaugh. As a federal judge, you're aware of the jury instruction, falsus in unibus, falsus in omnibus. Are you not? You're aware of that jury instruction?
Yeah, I am.
You know what it means.
You can translate it for me, Senator. You can do it better than I can.
False in one thing, false in everything, meaning in jury instructions that... some of us as prosecutors have heard many times, is told a jury that they can disbelieve a witness if they find him to be false in one thing. So the core of why we're here today really is credibility. Let me talk.
The core of why we're here is an allegation for which the four witnesses present have all said it didn't happen.
Let me ask you about Renata Dolphin, who lives in Connecticut. She thought these yearbook statements were, quote, horrible, hurtful, and simply untrue, end quote, because Renata alumni clearly implied some boast of sexual conquest. And that's the reason that you apologized to her, correct?
That's false, speaking about the yearbook. And she said she and I never had any sexual interaction. So your question is false, and I've addressed that in the opening statement. And so your question is based on a false premise and really does great harm to her. I don't know why you're bringing this up, frankly. Doing great harm to her by even bringing her name up here.
Wow.
Is really unfortunate.
This is not the way
I thought this was when you investigated this.
Right. In that way,
well, implying what you're implying about
by a number of your football friends at the time as boasting of sexual conquest. That's the reason that I'm bringing it up.
And yeah, no, it's false. You're implying that. Look what you're bringing up right now about her. Look what you're
Mr.
doing.
Chairman, I ask that these interruptions not
up.
Be subtracted from my time.
Yeah, ask your question and then let
She's a great person. She's always been a great person. We never had any sexual interaction. By bringing this up, you're just dragging her through the mud. It's just unnecessary.
who was dragging her through the mud when they put in the yearbook?
No, that was an homage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You made reference, Judge, to a sworn statement, I believe, by Mark Judge to the committee. Is that correct?
Why are you bringing that up?
I made reference to what Mark Judge's lawyer sent to the committee.
He's a writer.
It's not a sworn statement, is it?
Under penalty of felony?
Well, it's a statement signed by his lawyer, Barbara Van Gelder. It is six cursory and conclusory sentences. Are you saying that that is a substitute for an investigation by the FBI or some interview by the FBI under oath?
Under penalty of felony, he said that this kind of event didn't happen and that I never did or would have done something like that.
As a federal judge, you always want the best evidence, don't you?
Senator, he has said, and all the witnesses present, look at Ms. Kaiser's statement. She's stuck.
Let me move on to another topic. You've testified to this committee.
This is good. Why bother?
This afternoon. Quote, this whole two-week effort has been a calculated and orchestrated political hit fueled with apparent pent-up anger about President Trump and the 2016 election, fear that has been unfairly stoked about my judicial record, revenge on behalf of the Clintons, and millions of dollars in money from outside left-wing opposition groups. Is it your testimony that the motivation of the courageous woman who sat where you did just a short time ago was revenge on behalf of a left-wing conspiracy or the Clintons?
Senator, I said in my opening statement that she preferred confidentiality, and her confidentiality was destroyed by the actions of this committee.
Kavanaugh, let me ask you this.
Shorter Kavanaugh, I like my sexual assault victims to be quiet and confidential.
You described, quote, falling out of the bus onto the front steps of the Yale Law School at 4:45 a.m.
I wasn't.
And
I wasn't describing me. I organized. Senator, let me finish here, please. I organized a third-year end-of-school party for 30 of my classmates to rent a bus to go to Fenway Park in Boston, which was about a three-hour trip. I bought all the tickets. You and I have discussed that before. I bought all the baseball tickets. I rented the bus. I organized the whole trip.
Bought the beer.
We went to Fenway Park. Roger Clemens was pitching for the Red Sox. We had a great time. George Brett was playing third base for the Royals. Actually, he was playing left field that night. And we went to the game and got back, and then we went out. It was a great
proving
night of friendship.
I apologize for interrupting, Judge, but I need
memory.
To finish the quote before I ask you the question.
I wasn't
the
talking about
ends.
Me.
Okay, well,
the quote ends that you tried to, quote, piece things back together, end quote, to recall what happened that night. Meaning?
I know what happened.
Well, you...
Judge, will you quickly answer your question, then I'm going to let him answer
you. I know what happened that night.
I'll finish asking my question.
Please, go ahead, but do it quickly.
Doesn't that imply to you that you had to piece things back together? You had to ask others what happened that night?
No.
Okay, you take your time now and answer the question.
Definitely
not. I know exactly what happened that night. It was a great night of fun. I was so happy that... It was great camaraderie. Everyone looks back fondly on the trip to Fenway Park. And then we went out together, a group of classmates, and I know exactly what happened the whole night, and
I'm
happy.
I've rewatched the game.
I do this character where I'm an alcoholic.
Senator Crapo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Judge Kavanaugh, first, I want to get into this whole question that's been bandied back and forth here almost endlessly today about the FBI investigation process. Because I think I want to follow up a little bit on what Senator Lee and Senator Sasse have referenced. There's been a lot of talk here about we need an FBI investigation. In these processes, which you've been through a number of times now, when the FBI does a background check with regard to a nomination, could you quickly describe that for us? What does the FBI do?
The FBI gathers statements from people who have information. They don't
resolve credibility. They gather the information, and the credibility determination is made by the ultimate fact finder, which in this case is the United States Senate. The committee, of course, here has gathered evidence.
And the FBI then gives that report to the White House, if I understand it, and the White House then transfers it to the Senate. Is that the
That's my understanding, control? Yes.
And as you indicated, it does not do, and it's been said many times here today, the FBI does not make judgments. It gives the Senate committee information. At that point in time, if I understand the process correctly, the Senate, the United States Senate Judiciary Committee, has legal authorities. If it receives information in an FBI report that it wants to further investigate, the Senate has legal authority to conduct further investigation. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
And that is what has been referenced here many times about how some of these witnesses that were identified in the very late information that we received have made statements that are under penalty of felony. That's a felony for lying to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And as I understand,
how many times has Kavanaugh lied to the
Senate Judiciary Committee, which has authority under law to conduct those kinds of investigations, follows up on the FBI reports to finish out the investigation that it wants with regard to any information that it receives that needs further investigation. Is that your understanding of the process?
That's my understanding, Senator.
Now, in this case, there's been a lot of talk here today, and if I have time, I'll get into it. It looks like I'll run out of time. But in this case, there's a lot of concern by many that there was not so much an interest in an FBI investigation as there was in delay. I'm not going to get to that unless I have time. I want to talk about what happened in the Senate committee's investigation. Because as I understand it, and this may be more of a question to the chairman, as soon as we received information, which was about 45 days after others on the committee received it, we conducted an investigation. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman? I'm sorry to turn the question to you, but we began that legal Senate Judiciary Committee investigation.
Yes.
And that investigation involved our fully, lawfully enabled investigators to conduct an investigation. And if I understand it correctly, the Democratic members of the committee refused to participate in that investigation.
Yes.
And so we have conducted the very side are asking that we tell the FBI to do. This committee has the authority to do it, and this committee does it, and this committee has done it. Now, there may be more demands for more interviews and more investigation, but when you, Judge Kavanaugh, have referenced the testimony that has come from those who were supposed to, who are identified as being at this event, the testimony that has been received from them is information that has been received pursuant to a Senate committee investigation. And I just think it should be made clear. I think there's been a
Let's
lot
put
of back
Crapo
and forth here
before,
about, oh, we're not getting information, we're
Kamala
not looking
Harris,
at this.
So that,
you don't want to look into the investigation, you don't want to see what happened.
Nobody's watching anymore. Everybody turns it off.
Immediately investigated every witness that has been identified to us.
Crapo
and
wants,
we have
everybody
statements
to go to
under
sleep.
Penalty
Walk
of
away.
Felony from them. So I just want to conclude with that. I got 45 seconds left, so I'm going to just ask you one quick question, again on timing. You had a meeting with Senator Feinstein on August 20th?
That's my understanding, yeah. Well, I had a meeting, and that's my understanding of the date.
Of the date, yes. What was established earlier in testimony here today was that the ranking member's staff helped Dr. Ford to retain the Katz Law Firm on sometime between August or July 30th and August 7th. So I just wanted you to clarify one more time. In the meeting that you had 2 weeks or more later, this issue
How
was
many
not
people?
Raised.
The issue was not raised.
All right.
The
thank you. My time
huge
is
percentage
up.
Of people.
We'll take a 5-minute break now.
Okay, so we got 5 minutes. Then we got another 20 minutes going on. He's taking more breaks, incidentally, than she did. Now, that's because
he's also been more emotional. I wonder if that will be noted.
He boofs, right? Because maybe he's got, like, he's got some type of gastrointestinal
the Ralph.
Issue. The Ralph.
Yeah,
oh,
the
yeah.
Ralph
he's
the boofing is something different.
Probably going to go vomit again. They should have asked him, like, has it been a problem since you've been older? When did that stop? When did you stop vomiting
the whole thing about I knew everything that happened that night, I just pretended to. Why does he keep doing that? What sort of culture is he in where he constantly says, oh, I'm making these jokes about not remembering where I was last night, but I actually am not a drinker and I'm on the basketball team.
Well, he's lying. I mean, that's the way how you explain that. He's lying because he knows that if he admits that, I mean, it came down to what Blumenthal said, right? If you find the witness lying once, then they're all lies. They have ruined their credibility. And he painted himself into a corner by saying, I never partied. Because if they go down that route, they're going to uncover a lot more of this stuff, I think, is the problem for him. But it's very hard. Lindsey Graham's performance notwithstanding, Ben Sasse's attempt at being the host of the Oscars next year also notwithstanding. Brett Kavanaugh went into this as the least popular nominee, I think, in the history of SCOTUS. It is hard to imagine that he's going to walk away from this with more support. She came off as too credible, and he's coming off as not so credible.
Apparently, the Wikipedia for Devil's Triangle was edited by someone in the House.
An IP address that was in the House.
A drinking game enjoyed by Brett Kavanaugh. To be honest, like that, they said it was a drinking game enjoyed by Brett Kavanaugh makes me think it might be a Democrat staffer. I don't know.
Interesting.
But all is to say that Devil's whatever is not.
How do you know that they did that was their original edit and it wasn't somebody else who added enjoyed by Brett Kavanaugh?
Well, the edit all come back in one.
Okay. We have guests. Oh my gosh, that's great. Thank you so much. Yeah. Oh my God. Here comes the cavalry. Sit and watch. We have fans of the show who live in the environment here that we work in, the greater environment. This has been, we've been on air for quite a while.
We're at like
8 hours.
3 hours now for the second one.
Broadcasting?
Thank you so much. That was very sweet of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are we got to be in hour 8 now. We started at 10.
Well, we did about 4 hours and 20 minutes on the first one.
And we're 3 hours now.
3 hours straight. Yeah. All right, let's just keep an eye on that.
You can go 8 hours on a record for live.
No,
you can go 4.
You can go 4. We got cut off on the first one.
Yeah.
We lost the first 15 minutes from the first one. Will we ever get that material back?
Well, people can listen to it on the podcast.
We also have it recorded locally, so we can probably just upload the thing.
Let's upload that first part. Yeah, let's do that.
Not to give Matt more work to do.
Stop trying to breeze through this. You know, we may start 10, 15 minutes late tomorrow. I think that's legit.
We can poll the fan base, see what they
think. I mean, God knows what we'll have to talk about tomorrow. Let's take a couple. Let me go to the phones. Calling from a 509 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. It's Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Long time no talk to.
Hey, bro. Are you DT? Down to Devil's Triangle? I don't normally pitch for the other team, but you're looking pretty good these days, I'm going to be honest.
Well,
and
if I wasn't
putting that out there,
if I wasn't newly single, I would completely demur. But since I am newly single, let me just say, not going to say no out of hand.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Real quick, it seems like they're going to have trouble squaring the circle with saying that Dr. Ford is a victim and they feel really bad for her, but also that she's like a lying bitch who's, you know, out to assassinate this guy's reputation and has political motives. Like, they kind of want it both ways. They keep saying that they feel really bad for her and she's also a victim here. And, but that's not the story, right? I mean, the story is.
Well, that was the last question that I think it was Blumenthal was asking. Like, do you think she's part of this grand scheme and cabal? And he sort of dodged it a little
bit.
Started
talking about baseball.
Right.
Right. Anyways, hey, man, have an open mind.
Okay. will do. I wasn't sure if he was talking about Kavanaugh or the Devil's Triangle. But I'll try and have an open mind about both. For the sake of... Is Kavanaugh not coming back? That would be an odd time.
That'd be awesome.
Still Mac intro. This is infuriating. Yes, you wrote that an hour and a half ago. Still is. Bahab. Boofing is butt effing, but okay as in boofu, buddy, gay lovers. Okay.
I think it's the substance abuse stuff.
They're making their way back to the hearing room. Here he is. He's back. Here's his little notebook. Grassley has a snack. Looks like he's eating.
I'm good. Senator Rona.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Kavanaugh. My colleagues on the other side are accusing the Democrats of some sort of political conspiracy, but that's because they want us to distract. They want to distract us from what happened here this morning. And what happened here this morning was that we heard from Dr. Christine Ford, who spoke to us with quiet, raw, emotional power about what happened to her. She said she was 100% certain that it was you who attacked her. And she explained how she came forward, how she struggled with her decision, how she wanted the president to know so that he could make a better choice. So when you and my colleagues on the other side accuse us of ambushing you with false charges, I think we all have to remember Dr. Ford's testimony and her courage. Let me go back to something you just said in your opening. You said you thought at your first hearing the Democrats were an embarrassment. We asked you a lot of questions in those days. And which of our questions do you think were an embarrassment? I asked you about dissents you had written as a judge, an amicus brief you wrote as a lawyer, and your knowledge of sexual harassment and abuse by your close friend and mentor, Alex Kozinski, all valid questions in this setting. They are valid because this is a job interview for one of the most important positions of trust in this country. And earlier you agreed that this process of advice and consent is really a job interview. Certainly not a criminal trial. There's certainly no entitlement for you to be confirmed to the Supreme Court.
Ooh.
Are credibility, character, and candor of a nominee things for us to consider in your job interview?
I think my whole life is subject to consideration.
Is that yes? Credibility, character, and candor.
My whole
are those specific traits that would be of interest to us as we consider putting you for life on the highest court in the country? Credibility, character, and candor.
Of course, and as part of my whole life.
Is temperament also an important trait
even,
for us to consider?
You can't even
for 12
just
years, everyone
yes.
who's appeared before me on the D.C. Circuit has praised my judicial temperament. That's why I have the unanimous, well-qualified rating from the American Bar Association and all the people who have appeared
so
before you.
So you would agree that temperament is also an important factor for
yes,
us
and
to consider.
The federal public defender who testified to the committee talked about how I was always open-minded and how I'd ruled in favor of unpopular defendants, how I was fair-minded. I think
universally lawyers who've appeared before
the rest of the country.
So the answer is yes, I am running out of time. You know, we only have 5 minutes, so let me get to something else. In your Fox News interview, you said that you, quote, always treated women with dignity and respect, end quote, and that in high school you never, quote, drank so much that you couldn't remember what happened the night before. Would you say the same thing about your college life?
Yes.
So I'd like to read you statements from people who knew you in college.
And Sarah, can I
Senator Coons noted that James Roche said, your roommate, although Brett was normally reserved, he was a notably heavy drinker, even by the standards of the time, and he became aggressive and belligerent when he was drunk. So is your former college roommate lying?
I would refer you to what I said in the sealed or redacted portion about his relationship with the other two roommates, and I'm going to leave it at that. I will say, Senator, you're asking about college. I got into Yale Law School.
I was
That's
at
the
top
number
A's.
One law school
Drinkers
in the country. I had no connections there. I got there by busting my tail in college.
I feel
college.
Insulted as a Georgetown graduate.
Excuse me?
Go on.
I'm sorry. It's ranked number one. That doesn't mean it's number one. And, you know, in college, two things. A, I studied. I was in cross-campus library every night. And B, I played basketball for the junior varsity. I tried out for the varsity. The first day I arrived on campus, we had captain's workouts. I played basketball every day all through. And then as soon as the season was over in late February, captain's workouts started again.
Those college basketball players never
played. So you were not
a basketball player.
I only have 23 seconds. So you were not as sloppy drunk, and so your roommate was lying.
I will refer you again to the redacted portion. I'll say, look at my academic record, and I don't usually like to talk about myself this way, but in response to I worked very hard in college in my studies, and I also played basketball, I did sports, and I also did socialize.
Excuse me, I know that the chairman is going to stop me, but I do have some other references from people who knew you who say that you were not the basic choir boy. But hold on. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Senator, tell us.
I would like to, Mr. Chairman, I'll wait until we finish because I just want to enter some letters into the record. Could I do that?
I wasn't clear that's what you were doing.
I could go on. But, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter into the record four letters. One is dated September 18th, 2018, to you from all of the Democrats on this committee. Another is a letter dated September 18th to Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and Don McGahn, counsel to the president, signed by all the Democrats on this committee. A September 21st letter signed by Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein to the president, and a September 26th letter signed by all the Democrats on this committee, all requesting an FBI investigation, because you did say all we have to do is ask, and the implication being that if we ask, an investigation will happen, and it certainly has not happened. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, that will be included. Senator, tell us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Kavanaugh, thank you again for being here, and I apologize for what you're going through right now. I can't imagine it. I've gone through a campaign and had a lot of smears, but it pales in comparison to what you've had to deal with.
It's a smear.
I think one thing, one point that I'd like to make from the onset, if we go back and review how this committee process has worked, we've got a lot of work to do. We've had members take it on themselves to release committee confidential documents instead of respecting the process. We've had an allegation held for nearly 7 weeks that would have given us plenty of time to investigate. And then when we finally got the information, I invite everybody, particularly the American public, there is an investigation going on. And a lot of it's been documented. There's a chronology on the website that says that each and every time an allegation was made, the staff followed up on it. And sadly, in several different instances, the Democrats declined to participate.
They listened in on at least one interview with
you. Didn't ask a single question. If they wanted to find other leads and other things to do, why not ask? If you're really trying to get to the facts, if you're really trying to do your job to investigate, we're investigating. It's our job. I think in response to the ranking member's question that Judge Kavanaugh said, I'm here, you're asking me questions. But you know what? When the committee staff I assume, directed by the ranking member, says no, we're not going to ask questions of Judge Kavanaugh when he wanted to come in and clear his good after. You may not be after the truth. Maybe you are. Maybe you're after executing some sort of a political. Maybe it's a mix of both. But I think you've been treated unfairly, and I'm amazed that after 32 hours of testimony, 1.5 hours I sat in this room, that none of these questions came up when it was all fully known. Lawyered up, as a matter of fact. I also want to go back to the comments this morning. I think I heard, and we can go back to the record if someone disagrees with me, I think I heard Dr. Ford say that she wasn't aware of the fact that we said we'd come to California, we'd make it confidential, we'll completely depose and ask any questions you want to. I think I heard her say she wasn't aware of that. I don't know where that came with counsel or not, or whether counsel just neglected to tell her counsel, but the fact of the matter is that offer was out there. We were moving heaven and earth and even moving the schedule to get to the truth. We're doing an investigation. We're doing our level best. I hope that the American people who are watching this will go out to the Senate Judiciary website and take a look at this chronology. Take a look at the lack of investigation on the part of the people who want the investigation. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Every opportunity you have to go and question a witness, every opportunity that we've had to find more truth, to find more facts, we've done it. It's documented. We've got sworn statements. We're doing our job. We're doing the committee work. Judge Kavanaugh.
I got all A's.
I also have to say, I believe that you're a part of, you're the first major target of a new strategy that's developed here. And I think you're right. I think it's just basically
attack.
It's not advising consent. It's search and destroy.
David Axelrod.
And maybe one of the best evidence of this is
reporting
one of the websites
that they're going to go ahead with a vote tomorrow
that are out there attacking
on the committee,
and
then they're going to vote on Saturday.
And all of these red herrings has already acquired a URL for the next judge that they're going to attack.
If he's confirmed.
The URL's right here. They've already purchased it. They're ready to go. This is the playbook. This is the way we're going to run this committee from this point forward. Take a look at it. I'll make sure we get it out on our website. We've already got a
stop
another judge who hasn't been nominated URL from the same people that are trying to mobilize people to attack you. There are some people here who may sincerely have concerns. I would tell you to pound the table with your ranking member and the leadership on your side to say, why didn't we ask questions? Why did we listen in and defer? Why didn't we do our part of the investigation while this leader did everything he could to accommodate Dr. Ford and to run down every single lead that's been presented to us? Weeks after it was known to the minority.
This is where they're, I mean, the,
I look
this is where the Republican senators are doing.
I believe
they just
that you're
going to
be on the bench.
And,
you know, as Senator Cornyn said,
lie.
These are allegations that
Kavanaugh
can be
only has to do half time in
if
this
they
instance.
Actually rise to a level to where they can be prosecuted. And everybody on the other side of this dais knows that that's not going to happen.
Senator Booker.
Judge Kavanaugh. You drink on weekdays as well in high school, not just weekends. Is that
on
correct?
Weekdays?
Yes, sir.
I'd say that's rare. Are you talking about during the school year?
I'm talking about the calendars that you provided during these dates.
That's in the summer after a football workout when we went over to...
You drank on weekdays, yes or no, sir?
In the summer, when we went
Get
over
that thing
to
I just,
Timmy's
I tweet,
house
I tweeted
on July
you.
1st, that would indicate
July 7th.
Yes, in other words, that July 1st reference to skis, went over for skis, that's Brewskis, correct?
And after Tobin...
Sir, I just need a yes or no. That Brewskis, right?
Well, I need to explain in context.
You just said, sir, that you drank on weekdays. That's all I was looking for.
Well, no.
If I may ask the next question, sir. You said clearly on the record, I just want you to restate it, that you never in your life, after drinking heavily to the point of throwing up, and again, you said you had a weak stomach, you said you never had gaps in memories, never had any losses whatsoever, never had foggy recollection about what happened. Is that correct, sir? Yes or no?
That's what I said.
Okay. Sir, you also said that this past two weeks has been a two-week effort calculated and orchestrated as a political hit. Are you saying that Dr. Ford's efforts to come forward to prepare for the very difficult testimony she gave today, to travel to Washington, D.C. and tell us about her experience, have all been part of an orchestrated political hit, and are you basically calling her some kind of political operative?
I've said my family has no ill will toward Dr. Ford. She wanted confidentiality. Her confidentiality was blown by the actions of this committee, and it's turned this into a circus.
So, sir, let's just be clear. In other words, you have problems with the senators that are up here and how we conducted it, but you're not saying in any way that she is a political pawn, political operative. You have sympathy for her. She is talking about a sexual assault. Is that correct?
I said all allegations should be taken seriously. You should listen to both sides. My family has no ill will toward her.
Thank you, sir. Do you wish that she never came forward?
Senator, I did not do this. That's
not my question, sir. Could you try to answer my question, sir? Do you wish she never came forward?
The witnesses who were there say it didn't happen.
Okay, sir. Do you wish she just remained silent then?
I wish the witnesses who were there say it didn't happen. All allegations should be taken seriously.
So even if it's in the final days before a vote, if someone has a credible allegation of experience that they held for a long time, that person should be allowed to come forward. And in fact, as she said, it was her civic duty. You're not questioning her sense of civic duty, are you?
She did come forward, and then
I know you have a lot of political animus. You stated it very clearly towards my colleagues and I on this panel. What I'm trying to get to the bottom of is you do not see her specifically as part of an orchestrated event. She is not a political pawn.
I don't know her. But I've also said that we bear no ill will toward her. She wanted confidentiality. This could have been handled.
And I understand. But she came forward. She took a great extent.
Yeah.
Your family has gone through hell. Her family has gone through hell. Right. She sat here. She told her truth. And you made the allegation that she was coordinating it. I do not think she was coordinating with the therapist.
I did not say that.
I'm sorry. So you said that others were making a coordinated attack.
Coordinated by.
Forgive me. You were talking about us, not her.
So
she was
not. Room coordinated.
She was not doing this for political efforts in 2012 when she talked to her therapist about this attack. She was not coordinating about this painful experience when she made revelations to her husband. She did not coordinate in 2013, 16, 2017, before you even nominated, when she revealed that it was you with three different people that had sexually assaulted her. That wasn't coordination. And Lindsay,
all the witnesses who were there say it didn't happen. Ms. Kaiser is her longtime friend, said she never saw me at a party or without Dr. Ford.
And Ms. Kaiser has said clearly, and I'll quote what she said. She said she does not remember the night in question. That supports what you said. But she also says that she believes Dr. Ford. And so my colleague Lindsey Graham, who I respect and have admiration to and has been a partner of mine, he said voting no would be legitimizing the most despicable thing in American politics. Do you think that people who believe Dr. Ford are legitimizing despicable things? Those of us who think she's a credible witness, the allegations against her are credible, do you think that somehow we are engaging in something that's despicable?
Senator, I say listen to both sides before you make a bottom line conclusion. And look at the...
That is fair. I have 10 seconds left, sir. You can answer after I finish. You have 10 seconds left. That is fair. Listen to both sides. This is not about somebody, one side being despicable, the other side not. Listen to both sides. She was a credible... I'm going to finish my question. You can answer. She gave credible, meaningful testimony, a woman who had the courage to come forward and tell her truth, sir. And that's what I'm just asking you to say. She is not... A political pawn. She is not orchestrating. She is not part of the Clintons' efforts to get some kind of revenge. She is a woman who came here with corroborating evidence to tell her truth.
Is that a question?
No, sir. It was a final statement.
Senator Krug.
Just on one thing, Mr. Chairman. The evidence is not corroborated at the time. The witnesses who were there say it didn't happen.
No, that's not what
they said. Senator Krug.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Kavanaugh, you and
that
your
was
family
good by Booker to
have
read,
been treated incredibly
sort of
poorly
make people remember
by Senate
the testimony.
Democrats and by the media.
Oh, my God. They're really going to let Cruz
speak? I think
Dr. Speak?
Ford and her family have been treated incredibly poorly by Senate Democrats and the media. You have both seen your good names dragged through the mud. And this has been, sadly, one of the most shameful chapters in the history of the United States Senate.
Why would they
let me say
Cruz
to you and your family, thank you for a lifetime of public
clean
service.
Up on this.
I will say, watching your mother's pained face has been heart-wrenching as she's seen her son's character dragged through the mud after not only your lifetime of public service, but her lifetime of public service as well. And I know as a father, there's been nothing more painful to you than talking to your daughters and explaining these attacks that the media is airing.
You're grassly in the background.
I also believe, though, that the American people are fair-minded people. That the American people can set aside the partisan warfare of Washington and look to substance and facts. And that is the charge of this committee. Now, there have been three different sets of allegations that have dominated the media. I think it's important to note that two of those sets of allegations had so little corroboration that even the New York Times, which is no conservative outlet, refused to report on them because they could find no basis for them.
That's
and it was striking in this entire hearing that not a single Democrat in this committee asked about two sets of those allegations. Ms. Ramirez's allegations and the allegations of the client of Mr. Avenetti. Not a single Democrat. I don't know if they were just too embarrassed. Mr. Avenetti's allegations were so scandalous that the ranking member omitted his client's most scandalous accusations of you as a criminal mastermind, essentially.
What?
Omitted those scandalous accusations from her statement. This hearing has focused, rightly so, on the allegations Dr. Ford presented. And let me say, I think the committee did the right thing in giving Dr. Ford a full and fair opportunity to tell her story. That's what we needed to do when these allegations became public. And the committee treated her with respect, as we should. I do not believe Senate Democrats have treated you with respect. What do we know? We know that her testimony and your testimony are in conflict. A fair-minded assessor of facts would then look to what else do we know when you have conflicting testimony? Well, we know that Dr. Ford identified three fact witnesses who she said observed what occurred. All three of those fact witnesses have stated on the record under penalty of perjury that they do not recall what she is alleging happening. They have not only not corroborated her charges, they have explicitly refuted her charges. That's significant to a fair-minded fact finder. In addition, you've walked through before this committee your calendars from the time. Now, I will say you were a much more organized teenager than I was and than many of us were, but it was a compelling recitation of night by night by night where you were in the summer of 1982. That is yet another contemporaneous piece of fact to assess what happened.
This is just more filibuster.
And we also know that the Democrats
there's
on this
a lot of people are looking at that
July
1st.
The ranking member had these allegations on July 30th. And for 60 days.
People are talking both about July 7th, which says Columbia, that being during the week, and also July 1st, which is Thursday. There's a piece up now at the Washington Post by Philip Bump. It's written about an hour ago. Ford alleges, it was Kavanaugh's hope that providing these calendars would show he attended no such gathering. Rachel Mitchell asked Kavanaugh about July 1st. Tobin's house, workout, go to Timmy's for skis with Judge, Tom, PJ, Bernie, and Squee. Skis is brewskis. Mitchell said, the entry says, and I quote, Timmy's for skis with Judge, Tom, and Squee. Squee, it's a nickname. To what does this refer? It looks like we went over to Timmy's. He said, you want to know their last names too? I'm happy to do it. If you could just identify as Judge, Mark Judge. It's Tim Gaudette, Mark Judge, Tom Kane, PJ Smith. And the writer Bump says, notice two things. First, Squee was in attendance at the party. Someone who we learned, thanks to Mitchell's questioning of Ford, was going out with Ford. Over the course of that summer. Second, notice those two other attendees, one of whom Mitchell highlighted, Mark Judge and PJ Smith. Mitchell then went on. Okay, let's listen to Feinstein.
She was forced to come forward, and her greatest fear was realized. She's been harassed. She's had death threats. and she's had to flee her home. In addition, the investigation that the Republican majority is heralding is really nothing that I know about other than a partisan practice. Normally, all the witnesses would be interviewed. However, that's not happened. While the majority has reached out to several people, they did not notify me or my staff that they were doing this. And so to argue that we would not participate but not tell us what they were up to is somewhat disingenuous. I was given some information by a woman who was very much afraid, who asked that it be held confidential, and I held it confidential until she decided that she would come forward.
Mr. Chairman, would the ranking member answer a question, please?
If I can.
I have great respect for Senator Feinstein. We've worked together on many topics, and I believe what you just said. Can you tell us that your staff did not leak it?
Oh, I don't believe my staff would leak it. I have not asked that question directly, but I do not believe
do you know
they
that?
Would.
I mean, how in the world could that get in the hands of the press?
The answer is no. The staff
Have you asked your staff or other staff members on the Judiciary Committee?
Pardon me? Well, Jennifer reminds me I've asked her before about it.
Well,
that's true.
Well, somebody leaked it if it wasn't you.
Well, it was, I'm telling you, it was not, I did not. I mean, I was asked to keep it confidential. And I'm criticized for that, too.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask the chairman a question, which is, does the committee have a process, if there is an allegation against any nominee, to assess that allegation in a confidential forum rather than in the public, since Dr. Ford requested that it be kept confidential? Is there a process for the committee for considering confidential allegations?
And the answer is yes, and I sent Senator Tillis pointed out the document that I put out to show of all the things that we've done along the lines of your question.
And, Mr. Chairman, what would you have done if on July 30th the ranking member had raised this allegation with you? As the chairman of this committee, how would you
have done? We would have done like we have done with every background or, let's say, FBI report that comes from the White House with a nominee, and then subsequent to that, because maybe the FBI got done with it 3 months ago, we go through the FBI or information comes to us, then we have our investigators in a bipartisan way, both Republicans and Democrats, follow up on whatever those questions are or those problems that have to be worked out. Jesus.
So bipartisan investigators could have investigated this 2 months ago, and it could have been heard in a
confidential
setting.
You know what I would have also liked to hear
without
about,
Dr. Ford's
Matt,
name or Judge Kavanaugh's
because this
name.
Is just them posturing about. I would have liked to hear whether or not there was any coordination with Ed Whelan, who tried to float this doppelganger theory. What he knew about it. Did they ever meet with Ed Whelan?
Mr. Chairman, may I respond? It's my understanding that her story was leaked before the letter became public. And she testified that she had spoken to her friends about it, and it's most likely that that's how the story leaked and that she had been asked by press. But it did not leak from us, I assure you of that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm a little confused. I thought only the member of the House and Senator Feinstein and her lawyers had the letter. So her friends she might have talked to about it couldn't leak the letter if they just had a
the letter wasn't
conversation
leaked.
Unless
she released
them
the letter.
A copy of the letter.
Senator,
the
I don't think the letter was
right.
ever leaked.
Well, how did the press know to contact her about her complaint?
She testified here this morning that she had talked to friends about it.
They had the letter.
And that press had talked to her.
The letter was not leaked, guys.
Senator, our judge, since there was reference
He's
to
making
the
up
problems,
parts of the story. It's unbelievable.
The legitimate problems and the change of lifestyle that Dr. Ford had, if you want some time to say the impact on your family, I'd be glad
Wait,
to hear
What about
you.
Kamala Harris?
If you don't want to talk about it, that's okay.
I've talked about that, Mr.
Okay. Then Senator Harris.
Thank you. Judge Kavanaugh, have you taken a professionally administered polygraph test as it relates to this issue?
No, I'll do whatever the committee wants. Of course, those are not admissible in federal court, but I'll do whatever the committee wants. They're not admissible in federal court because they're not reliable, as you know.
So you've not taken one.
Right.
All three of the women who have made sworn allegations against you have called for an independent FBI investigation into the claims. You've been asked during the course of this hearing by four different members, by my count, at least eight times today, and also earlier this week on national television, whether you would call for the White House to authorize an FBI investigation. Each time you have declined to do so. Now, you know, I know you do, that the FBI is an agency of men and women who are sworn and trained law enforcement, who in the course of conducting background investigations on nominees for the Supreme Court of the United States and others are charged with conducting those background investigations because they are sworn law enforcement and they have the expertise and the ability and the history of doing that. So I'm going to ask you one last time. Are you willing to ask the White House to authorize the FBI to investigate the claims that have been made against you?
Well, I'll do whatever the committee wants, of course.
And I've heard you say that, but I've not heard you answer a very specific question that's been asked, which is, are you willing to ask the White House to conduct an investigation by the FBI to get to whatever you believe is the bottom of the allegations that have been levied against you?
The FBI would gather witness statements. You have
I don't want to debate with you how they do their business. I'm just asking, are you willing to ask the White House to conduct such an investigation? Because as you are aware, the FBI did conduct a background investigation into you before we were aware of these most recent allegations. So are you willing to ask the White House to do that and say yes or no, and then we can move on?
I've had six background investigations over 26 years.
Sir, as it relates to the recent allegations, are you willing to have them do it?
The witness testimony is before you. No witness who was there supports that I was there.
I'm going to take that as a no, and we can move on.
Right. Good.
You have said in your opening statement you characterized these allegations as a conspiracy directed against you. I'll point out to you that Neil Gorsuch, was nominated by this president. He was considered by this body just last year. I did a rough kind of analysis of similarities. You both attended Georgetown Prep. You both attended very prestigious law schools. You both clerked for Justice Kennedy. You were both circuit judges. You were both nominated to the Supreme Court. You were both questioned about your record. The only difference is that you have been accused of sexual assault. How do you reconcile your statement about a conspiracy against you with the treatment of someone who was before this body not very long ago?
I explained that in my opening statement, Senator. Look at the evidence here, the calendars. Look at the witness statements. Look at Ms. Kaiser's statement.
Okay. And then
she's got to.
Do you agree that it is possible for men?
Like, that's weird, sir. But I'll move on.
Friends,
like even that,
with some women and treat other women badly?
Of course, but the point I've been emphasizing, and that is if you go back to age 14 for me, you will find people, and not just people, lots of people who I've been friends with, some of whom are in this room today, starting at age 14, women, and who talked about my friendships with them through my whole life, and it's a consistent pattern all the way through. 65 women who knew me more than 35 years ago, signed a letter to support me after the allegation was made because they know me and they were with me and we grew up together. We talked on the phone together and we went to events together. That is who I am. What they've said, what the people who worked with me in the Bush White House, the women there, look at what Sarah Day said in CentralMaine.com. Look at what the law clerks I have sent more women law clerks to the Supreme Court than any other federal judge in the country.
I only have a few seconds left, and I'll just ask you a direct question. Did you watch Dr. Ford's testimony?
I did not. I planned
Thank
to.
You
I planned
Thank
to.
You.
I planned to, but I did not. I was preparing mine.
Our last 5 minutes will be Senator Flake, 1 minute, and Senator Kennedy, 4 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When Dr. Ford came forward with her account, I immediately said that she should be heard and asked the chairman to delay the vote that we had scheduled. And the chairman did, and I appreciate that. And she came at great difficulty for her and offered compelling testimony. You have come and done the same. I am sorry for what's happened to you and your family, as I'm sorry for what has happened to hers. And this is not a good process, but it's all we've got. And I would just urge my colleagues to recognize that in the end, we are 21 very imperfect senators trying to do our best to provide advice and consent. And in the end, there is likely to be as much doubt as certainty going out of this room today. And that as we make decisions going forward, I hope that people will recognize that. And in the rhetoric that we use and the language that we use going forward, that we'll recognize that, that there is doubt. We'll never move beyond that. And just have a little humility on that front. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Flake.
Whoa,
now, Senator
what does that
Kennedy.
Mean?
I'm voting.
Senator Kennedy.
Saying I'm voting for him? Or do you think it's saying I'm not voting for you?
I'm sorry, Judge, for what you and your family have been through. And I'm sorry for what Dr. Ford and her family have been through. It could have been avoided. Do you believe in God?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to give you a last opportunity. Right here, right in front of God and country. I want you to look me in the eye. Are Dr. Ford's allegations true?
They're not accurate as to me. I have not questioned that she might have been sexually assaulted at some point in her life by someone, someplace. But as to me, I've never done this. Never. Done this to her or to anyone else. And I've talked to you about what I was doing that summer of 1982, but I'm telling you, I've never done this to anyone, including her.
Are Ms. Ramirez's allegations about you true?
Those are not. None of the witnesses in the room support that. If that had happened, that would have been the talk of campus in our freshman dorm. The New York Times reported that as recently as last week, she was calling other classmates seeking to, I'm not going to characterize it, but calling classmates last week and just seemed very, I'll just stop there. But it's not true. It's not true.
Are Ms. Swetnick's allegations made by Mr. Avenatti about you true?
Those are not true. Never met her. Don't know who she is. There's a letter released within 2 hours of that breaking yesterday from, I think, 60 people who knew me in high school, men and women, who said it was, their words, nonsense. Totally, you know, the whole thing, that totally ridiculous.
None of these allegations are true.
Correct.
No doubt in your mind.
Zero. I'm 100% certain.
Not even a scintilla.
Not a scintilla. 100% certain, Senator.
You swear to God.
I swear to God.
Fingers crossed.
That's all I have, Judge.
Judge Kavanaugh, thank you very much. Hearing adjourned.
All right, folks. We're going to do just another 2 hours wrap up on this. And
got some clips.
Look, what we're hearing is that the vote is still going to take place, but they're going to go figure out what Jeff Flake said. And they're going to see what he said, and they're going to check with Susan Collins, and they're going to check with Murkowski, and then they're going to make their decision. I suspect the committee's going to vote tomorrow, because I suspect the committee will vote for him. The question is, will they have a floor vote on Saturday? I don't know. I don't know that the Democrats could have done really a significantly better job. I may have asked questions slightly different. But Dick Durbin, I thought, did well. Harris, I think, did okay. I think Cory Booker did okay.
Blumenthal did pretty well.
So we'll see. We will be doing our show tomorrow at noon. Maybe we'll start 5-10 minutes late. I'm not sure. Eddie Glau will be joining us, and we probably won't have a second guest because we're going to be digesting this stuff and resting. So thanks for joining us. You want to support the show, become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com, justcoffee.coop, support our sponsors. Thanks for tuning in. We do a live show every day at noon, and would love to have you join us. Matt, Brendan, Michael, who had to deal with an exterminator, and Jamie, of course, has not been here. I'm sorry, I meant to mention earlier that she was sick, but was texting us messages of support and solidarity. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive between the